what do you think Ryan Burrow did with Steve Bertrand? Something weird happened. I wonder what happened.
He's here. He's here.
What, he just can't work on his birthday?
Yeah, he'll be in at 10:30, so everyone can set their recorders right coming up. About you guys hit it pretty much dead on every time, right? So about 10:29:50,
we'll hear from him.
Exactly.
All right. On your birthday, you get to sleep. This is WGN policy, and it's been a policy for years. You get to sleep in an extra half hour on your birthday.
Well, it's my understanding he's so busy answering all of these birthday messages he's getting. He just, you know, all these Facebook and emails and stuff.
Right. I imagine it must be insane. All right. So if everybody's out there worrying about Steve Bertrand, please, no reason to worry. He's fine. It's just his birthday is all.
Again, that just sounds weird. If you're coming in, get all the accolades. Show your face.
You should. Absolutely.
He's coming up. We've got to roll out the carpet. He's getting his robe on with his crown right now.
The birthday robe?
Yep. Yep. Or maybe he's getting his birthday spanks. I don't
know. Now, does he still do that in the newsroom? It's birthday spanking time and he winks?
Oh, spanking machine.
Oh, that gets awkward.
Do you want me to send him down?
Yes.
That gets so awkward.
Or we can do it right before the Wintrust business lunch. He's too tall to get through any of our legs, though.
Yeah. It's all weird, but that's the weirdest part, isn't it?
I've never seen him that shade of red before, by the way, so that's pretty funny.
He looks like a little cherry. That's what he looks like. Hey, can I, you know, I have no right to complain. My life, I wouldn't trade lives with anybody. I don't know anybody on the planet that I'd trade lives with. I wouldn't complain. I have no reason to complain. But I want to point something out, and I don't know if other guys experience this or if it's just me. From time to time, in the morning, because that's my first shower of the day, Wendy, is in the morning. I wake up and I go to the shower. From time to time, including this morning, when I enter into the shower, what is usually the bottom of our shower/bathtub has now been replaced with what's like a sheet of creamy ice, and you don't expect it. And then when you go into the shower, it's like a cartoon.
Why is it ice?
Well, it's not really ice, but it's that kind of consistency because, and I don't know that other guys experience this or if it's just at my house. I live with three women, my wife and my two daughters, and they like to apply lotion. And I guess the place to apply the lotion is in the shower. And what it does is it makes the surface of your bathtub/shower impossible to navigate. You can't stand up on it. It's impossible.
I totally get it. A lot of times conditioner will do that. And I'm kind of slipping and sliding. So I don't want to leave it that way for Jim.
Mm-hmm.
So I soap up my hands and make sure soap gets there and rub it with my foot so it's not slippery when he gets in. They're not taking care of you.
Can you please, please, please address my family? Can you call some sort of a symposium and explain to them that that needs to be done? Because more days than not, it's not slippery at all. There's no slippage at all.
You just go in the
shower and you shower. But then on other days, and you can hear me.
Whoop.
It's like from the Jetsons.
Yes.
It's like that Jetsons noise. And it's followed by a series of words that cannot be said on these airwaves. But it's impossible because you just don't know what's coming. It looks normal. You look in the bathtub or in the shower and you go, it's just another day. And then you hop in there and you cannot stand up in it. It's impossible.
I know what you mean. And the only reason I do it for Jim is because I'm kind of slipping. So I'm like, it's going to get worse later.
Right.
So I soap up my hands, make a lot of lather. Sometimes I take just the shampoo and squirt it on the bottom of the shower and rub it with my foot and then rinse it off because I totally get it.
Well,
they don't care about you.
I think they care about me.
They're trying to hurt you.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you. You've experienced this not at my house but at your own house?
Not so much. I think
you've never gone through this.
I think it's your problem.
They think it's the funniest thing in the world when I complain about it. And then I list all the things. I go, here's what could happen. I could get a concussion. I could slip in the shower. That's the noise. That's the exact noise. That's the exact noise. I could get a concussion. I could break an arm or a leg or both. I go through like a litany of things that could potentially, if you slip, the end result is going to be blood and just it's not going to be good. And they think it's funny. Oh,
it's not funny.
It's not. It's dangerous.
That's me doing this. I'm just going to let this run. These are like a bunch of different sounds.
But there's one. I don't know. I don't know which sound source you're going to. Did you ever see like on a cartoon, on a Hanna-Barbera cartoon, if Megilla Gorilla is about to slip and it's whoop, 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 whoop.
Yes.
And then the big one. Yeah, that's what it's
the
like.
The big one.
But that's what it is for real. It's not a sound effect. It's actual. It's real.
All right. Well, they have to do something about it. Is it worse in the winter? Because they do make lotion now that you put on in the shower. And back in the old days when I used to take showers, I would put baby oil on in the shower because it goes on much more smoothly with wet skin. And then you get out and you're already lotioned up.
I said to, now we're down to, because Kylie's in New York right now, we're down to just Reese and Terry.
All right, so she's innocent.
So well, she's innocent this time. But in the past, whenever I bring this up, everyone goes, Kylie, because I guess she, of the three of them, uses more lotion. I don't know how you decide your lotion to body ratio.
Her skin is drier.
Is that what it is? I don't know how you.
Or she's just.
She likes lotion.
Yes. Sometimes you get lazy and don't feel like putting lotion on because it's an extra step, and then later you're like, oh, my skin's really dry.
Yeah.
So good for Kylie.
I've explained to them that the lotioning should be done elsewhere, not in the shower.
In the basket.
And I was told lotion basket. That I was told then that that's impossible. That the lotion must be applied in the shower. That there's no other place in the house that could accommodate that. But that's not true.
You can do it once you get out.
Right, right. You can.
Oh, somebody has it worse than you. And isn't that always the case, Bill? Somebody
it is
has
always
it.
The case.
Matt, you have it worse than Bill, don't you?
Just a little bit. How you doing, guys?
Good. Are you in the shower now? Your phone is crackling a little bit.
How about now?
That's the same.
Try putting some Ginette on it.
How about now?
That's all right.
Go ahead, man. We'll try and ignore it.
My daughters will leave their disposable razors on the floor of the tub.
That hurts when you get in and step on a disposable razor, doesn't it?
I haven't stepped on it yet, but I'm thinking between my two daughters and the wife, they're just trying to take it out.
They're not trying to take you out. But doesn't your bathtub...
I'm a nervous wreck taking a shower.
Doesn't your bathtub, like every other bathtub that's ever been invented, have some sort of a ledge somewhere that they could just put it on?
Oh, my God. We have a thing in the corner. It has shelves.
Yeah, we do, too. But sometimes it falls through the little rungs.
Oh, and there's like 100 razors in there, so how do they know which one they're going to use?
No, that's true.
If you don't hear me next week, I'm gone.
We'll call the authorities. Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
Bye.
His phone was crackly.
Matt was calling from a phone from 1946.
One ringy dingy.
Right. All right. I just want to say, I'm not complaining. I have nothing to complain about, but my life was, your life should not be in danger just for taking a shower.
All right. We have to put this thought bubble into everyone's head. So, Karen, go ahead.
Oh, Bill,
yes.
I think the worst thing that will happen is that you will be naked when you have to call 911.
Right.
Maybe if you explain that to your daughters that, you know,
yep.
This is what's going to happen.
Right.
And that to me would be the worst.
Well, then they'll buy for me. They'll go to Etsy and they'll get me a shower loincloth or something and tell me to stop complaining.
Oh, my gosh. That's too funny.
Karen, that's a great point. That's one of my irrational fears is like something's going to happen to me and I'm not going to be clothed.
Yep.
And, you know.
Yes. And I'll tell you, we have a hot tub, and we were all natural in the hot tub, and I think my husband got the temperature too high. And when we got out, I said to my husband, I said, I think that was too hot. I said, I might pass out. I'm not feeling good. And I said, if you have to call 911, please put clothes on me.
You know how hard it is to put clothes on a dead body? Oh, wait, did I say that on the air?
Yeah, I heard you say that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Karen.
Thanks, Karen.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a good one.
Stay clothed.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then there's more show. Jump in if you like. You know the phone number. It's 312-981-7200. Bill and Wendy, WGN. All right, so if you're just tuning in earlier this morning, as I attempted to take a shower, one or my entire family decided to lotion up in the shower at some point yesterday, making for a very, very slippery entrance into the shower. Almost got killed.
Yeah, it was really scary, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was scary.
That's what women do. They leave the shower very slippery, and then you step in and...
Now, that didn't do it justice. It needed to be longer and more dangerous sounding.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, John, we're just having fun.
Yeah. Hello, WGN friends.
Hello, John.
Oh, hi, listener friend.
Bill, I also live in a house full of women. Mine are teenagers.
Yes.
And
not easy, is it?
It can be an adventure sometimes.
What have you had happen?
Well, one time we were all on vacation and we were staying in a cabin in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And the girls decided they needed to remove all the hair off their legs with Nair.
Okay? Yes.
Listen, this stuff, it kind of, if you don't realize it's on your skin, it starts dissolving in the bottom of your feet a little bit. It gets so slippery. It's like
really?
An ice skating rink.
And it stinks.
Yeah.
But I'm told I have very specific things I can't touch in the bathroom. So I'll step into the shower and I'll see all kinds of new scrubbers and lotions and everything.
It's a loofah.
I can't. And I'm told that's for them only. Don't touch anything. They don't want, I guess, man stuff.
You don't want man germs on it. Right.
Yeah. Man germs. Right, right, right. But our teenagers, they love to dye their hair, and our oldest decided she wanted to go purple. And it used to be that the shower had a ring, well, a bathtub shower, had a ring of purple. Every time she showered, some of that purple came out of her hair. The walls were purple. The carpet was purple in the hallway.
You can donate your bathroom in Northwestern when you guys decide to move.
You know, exactly. It was that Northwestern color, too. That's the funny thing.
Yeah, it can be an adventure, John. I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. I don't think you would either, but it can be an adventure sometimes.
It's an adventure, yeah. If you're a guy, it's there are mysteries of the woman's world that men should never even know about. Wendy, I like you.
Yes, of course.
Oh, John, thank you.
Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
Have a good weekend.
He said, Wendy, I like you. Why don't you get that? Instead of the hate, I don't like Wendy.
Kevin, did that record, Kev?
No, we weren't able to.
That one. That was actually, that was my house this morning. That one.
Quick explanation as to why women lotion up in the shower. Donna, you.
Yes, absolutely. Bill.
What?
The reason women put creams or oils on their skin while they're in the shower mm-hmm. is that their skin is still a little damp, and the moisturizer and oils are it's easier for them to get deeper into your skin because your pores are all open.
Right. And they can explain that to everybody at my funeral when I conk my head on the bathtub and die.
I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying it is. This is why women do this.
So you'll hear this a lot at my funeral. Oh, that's so sad about your dad. But your skin looks fantastic. What are you putting
exactly.
on your skin?
Hey, what? And you're outnumbered anyway. So you know.
It's 3-1. I get it. Donna, thank you. Have a great weekend.
Welcome. You too, Bill. Bye-bye.
All right.
Is that when you conked your head? How old are you?
Yeah, that would have been me.
I conked my head.
That's what else? That's how it needs to be described. It's dangerous.
Well, be careful.
I am. Believe me.
All right.
Believe me.
Quick break. That news time with the birthday boy, Steve Bertrand, coming up on the other side of these 720 WGN. It's the big game.
It is the big game.
It will be super.
And we can't, again, for legal reasons, we cannot say Super Bowl, but the Super Bowl is being played on Sunday. I wish we could call it that, but we can't. We have to say the big game. Here to talk about the Super Bowl, which we can't say, is Adam Hogue from our sports department. Adam, please don't say Super Bowl. We can't afford the lawsuits.
I've been trying to avoid it all week, saying Super Bowl.
Don't say it.
What's the deal with that? If you use it to make money, you can't say it. Like, hey, it's Bill and Wendy's Super Bowl party. Come and join us. But you can obviously say Super Bowl.
Well, it's the same thing like during the Bears season where you can't use
You can't say
Bears.
Win.
Well, you can't use the Bears. Yeah, you can't say win. Yeah.
Right. It's inaccurate.
Sorry, Adam.
It's inaccurate.
But yeah, like you can't use the Bears. You know, like bars around here. They have like signs in their bars and they say, come in for the football game
really?
On Sunday. And it'll be like an orange lettering and blue outline, but they can't actually use the Bears logo or anything.
Can we say Super Bowl?
I don't know.
I'm not even going to say that.
You know, there actually are, I think, like alternative like words too that you can't even say.
Like
I heard a commercial on the radio though yesterday where they actually bleeped out. So they said Super Bowl, but they bleeped out bowl.
Oh,
that's funny.
And they kind of made fun of it.
So you know what it is without hearing what it is.
Yeah. And they're really making fun of the whole idea of it,
right,
too.
Right, right. For Sunday's game, you have the New England Patriots. You have the Atlanta Falcons. We just looked it up to be sure because the last time I looked, it's a 3-point spread. No, the teams are interchangeable. They're not interchangeable. You have to be those teams. 3 points is the spread. So what everybody needs to know, the most important thing that we talked to you about is this. Who's going to beat the spread? Not who's going to win, but the Falcons are 3-point underdogs. Will they cover that?
I got to be honest. I think this spread is dead on.
Do you? Yeah.
I have the Patriots winning the game. Sorry, spoiler alert.
Yep.
Probably should save that for the end.
All right. Thanks for coming by.
Yeah, I'll see you guys later. Because I do, I think the Falcons might actually be the better team, actually. Though.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going for the Falcons.
But I just trust the Patriots, the coaching, the experience they have. Tom Brady having more experience than Matt Ryan in this game. And that's so where I think it's going to be really close. The one thing about the Patriots being in the Super Bowl all these years is every year they've been in it, it's been a really good game. Like, it's come down to the wire most of the
time. That's not a slouch team.
So I think it's going to be a close game. So if they win, it's going to be right around 3 points, right?
It makes sense. Now, Tom Brady will have been to the Super Bowl as quarterback more than any other quarterback in history at this point.
If he wins, he'll have the most Super Bowl wins.
And that beats Terry Bradshaw, I believe.
Terry Bradshaw, right? And Joe Montana.
Yeah.
Oh.
Who he's tied with right now.
See, that's why I go for the underdog. It's more fun.
It is more fun, isn't it, to go for the underdog?
I will say this, though. Roger Goodell has created a situation where you almost want to root for the Patriots. Right, because he is so easy to not like, mm-hmm. and he has made himself enemy number one mm-hmm. with the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like enemy number one versus enemy number two. Which one do you want to root for? And I kind of want to see Tom Brady have to take the trophy from
Goodell.
From Roger Goodell.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm kind of looking forward to that. So it's kind of making me want the Patriots to actually win for once.
A lot of times in a matchup like this, it really is a quarterback versus quarterback matchup. So is that the case this time with Matt Ryan and Tom Brady? These are two of the premier quarterbacks in the game right now. Does it come much deeper than that, or is that what the game will come down to?
Well, it is a quarterback league,
yeah.
And chances are, you know, whichever team wins, it's probably going to be the MVP, the quarterback of that team. Tom Brady's had a much better career than Matt Ryan, but Matt Ryan's had a better season, Brady still had a hell of a year.
Sure.
Despite missing the first four games because of his suspension. But Matt Ryan's probably going to be named the MVP tomorrow night, and rightfully so. So this is a great...
Not tomorrow night. Probably Sunday night.
Oh, I mean a league MVP.
Oh, league
which
MVP.
Is awarded
okay.
to, on Saturday.
I thought
night.
You meant the game MVP,
well,
the
maybe
Super Bowl.
Both. Maybe both. But my point is, for the year, Matt Ryan is probably the MVP.
Yeah, he had
going
an incredible
up against...
Season.
You know, I'm finally conceding that Brady's probably the best ever.
Yeah.
Probably. And so it's a great matchup in that regard.
Did you see Brett Favre's comment about that yesterday?
I didn't. What did
he say? He said the two best quarterbacks in the history of football are Tom Brady and Joe Montana, and nobody's close to those two. And that's from Brett Favre.
Okay. And I think Favre's top five.
I love Favre.
Yeah, but he wouldn't say himself.
No,
that.
He would.
But that's class to not say, right. Well, other than myself, I'd also look at... I give him credit just for not including himself in that little select group.
Is it bad that two of my favorite quarterbacks ever are Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers?
No. No.
And you're a Bears fan?
But think about it. It's all true. The Bears-Packer games we've watched over the last 20, 25 years, we've seen... Those two quarterbacks play at an incredibly high level and do things that we've never seen here in Chicago.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
Will we ever see something like that? Why is it so hard to get a good quarterback? Honestly, why is it so hard?
Well, there's not that many out there.
Well, make some more.
And somehow the Packers are spoiled.
Come on, quarterback
factory.
They get
two back-to-back. I know. So these Jimmy Garoppolo rumors this
week.
I
know.
Yeah.
For those here that don't know who Jimmy Garoppolo is, he's the Patriots' backup. He's been the Patriots' backup the last 3 years. He's also a local kid. He grew up in Arlington Heights.
Mm-hmm.
He was heavily under-recruited to college. He ended up at Eastern Illinois. I'm trying to go back in my memory from scouting him coming out of Eastern. I don't even think he played the first couple of years. And then he ended up having this incredible last couple seasons of his career there, especially his senior year. They go decent run in the playoffs. And he suddenly becomes this hot NFL draft prospect. And I saw him down at the Senior Bowl that year, and he was really, really good.
And he did great during Tom Brady's suspension early in the season.
Right, so he finally got his opportunity to play. The Patriots drafted him in the second round, which is a pretty good... second-round picks are decent. Derek Carr came out the same year, was also drafted in the second round. He's now a stud for the Oakland Raiders. So There's an idea here that he could turn into be a really good quarterback. He finally got his opportunity to play earlier this season when Brady was suspended. Unfortunately, Garoppolo suffered a shoulder injury, and he didn't really get to play out that string of games. But the Eastern Illinois connection is with the Bears general manager, Ryan Pace, who also went to Eastern, played at Eastern Illinois. And going back to when the Bears practiced in New England in August, if you guys remember that, I was out there. Actually, we were standing around waiting to do an interview with Ryan Pace for our podcast, Intentional Grounding, that I do with Adam Johns here on WGNRadio.com. And what we were waiting for was Ryan Pace to have a conversation with Jimmy Garoppolo.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys had never met before. And it was really interesting to see that conversation. Because how many times do you see a general manager go out of his way after a practice to talk
a one-on-one
to an opposing quarterback?
Is that tampering at all, though?
No, it's not tampering. It's just a friendly conversation.
Yeah.
And I asked Ryan and I asked Jimmy, that first time you guys had talked, and they both said yeah. So it's an interesting connection. I don't know how much you can really read into it.
And would Jimmy ever want to come here?
What's in it for a guy like that to come to the Bears at this point?
To save the day.
We're talking about a trade, though. So he doesn't really have control. I mean, he's got 1 year left on his deal with New England, and that's sort of the conundrum they have is he going to want to resign in a place where Tom Brady says he's going to keep playing for five more years?
Yeah.
So they will be interested in trading him. And the three teams with the top three draft picks, the Cleveland Browns, the San Francisco 49ers, and the Chicago Bears, all need a quarterback. So I imagine all three of those teams are going to be in the mix. And ultimately, the battle between those three teams and what they're willing to give up is probably going to determine how much it's going to cost to bring Jimmy here. It's a great story, though. Local kid, the connection with Ryan Pace at Eastern Illinois. And it's also a lot of pressure. If he did happen to come to Chicago, you're right. Talking about local. You know, it's almost like a Derrick Rose situation, and sort of the weight of this Bears franchise and what you just said, Wendy, the lack of having good quarterbacks here in the city. It would be a lot to live up to.
Although it can't be any worse than it's been.
Well, I want to bring up the apathy. To me, the biggest story of the season was the apathy that set in, the empty seats at Soldier Field. Especially on Christmas Eve. Yes, it was a holiday, but that place was more than half empty. It was.
But you could tell by week two or three that this team was going nowhere fast.
Yeah, and by the second half, once the weather kicked in and it was cold, the fans responded by not coming.
Not worth going.
And I had family members that were like, yeah, I got offered two tickets. I don't want to go. Like, people were turning down free tickets to go see the Chicago Bears.
They were packaging them with Hamilton tickets, and people were still saying, you know what? We appreciate it. All right, let's take a
wait. Can I just say, Adam Hoge has single-handedly, you've gotten my excitement back about the Bears if we get Jimmy Garoppolo.
That's what I'm talking about. Jimmy would sell tickets.
No doubt about it.
People would show up. There would be excitement again. Probably hesitant excitement or cautious optimism because of what happened with Cutler. Think about how excited everyone was when they traded for Cutler, and we're talking about a similar situation.
Realistically, he would only fill one of 9 or 10 holes that the Bears have right now. Am I right?
More like 25.
Am I right?
Am I right? This guy knows what I'm talking about. All right, we'll take a quick break. Adam Hoge is here. We're discussing the big game on Sunday and the Bears' future. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
But for Bob Greasy and the Miami Dolphins, it wasn't a Sunday that would soon be forgotten.
Adam Hoge is here.
What about Jim Kick, Mercury Morris?
But for Jim Kick and Mercury Morris.
Larry Zonka.
They probably also wouldn't forget about it.
Adam Hoge is here from the sports department with a preview of Sunday's big game. Most people will know the name Matt Ryan, the quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons, and, of course, Tom Brady, the quarterback of the New England Patriots. But give us one player on each team that if you're not up on football, you should really keep your eye on Sunday.
Well, I mean, there's a number of them. I think one of the best matchups in this game beyond the quarterbacks is Falcons wide receiver Julio Jones, which is he's also a star in this league.
I used to hang out down by the schoolyard with him.
Oh, boy.
Wow. He'll be facing Malcolm Butler.
That's a good matchup.
Who kind of came on the scene a couple years ago in the Super Bowl when he made that interception against Russell Wilson right at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And Butler's turned out to be a pretty good corner. So those two will be battling throughout this game. And then there's another guy, Vic Beasley, who is a pass rusher for the Falcons that has come on this year. Someone I thought the Bears should look at a couple years ago in the draft.
And you want to say hello to Vic Beasley's mom, Wendy?
Hello, Mrs. Beasley.
We're back in it. Adam just gathered his stuff.
I know.
He's like, I have other things to
do. I'm just glad we haven't
here.
Really talked about color yet. You know?
I tried to sound like Buffy, by the way.
It's a good Buffy impression.
All right, thank you. Yep. So anyway, those are a couple names.
Yeah.
All right, do you know that you would have to run the length of 149 football fields to run off the calories in just 10 chicken wings?
Did you
so
know
keep that?
That
in mind for wow. your spread.
While you're snacking in the game?
Depresses me.
What's the perfect snack for anybody watching or listening to the Super Bowl? What should they be eating, Adam?
The perfect I always like buffalo chicken dip.
Oh, yeah.
I like wiener wraps. Sorry, yeah. But I do. You know, you take the little mini little smokies.
Yeah.
And you wrap them in a crescent roll. And,
those sound delicious.
And you dip them in
those are
mustard.
Easy.
Those are
really
good.
Yeah. They look like little footballs, too.
Yeah, they're shaped like little footballs.
You know, I like to watch the game kind of alone.
Do you?
By
really?
Yourself. Yeah. Why?
You know, you go to these Super Bowl parties, you can't hear the game. Everyone's talking.
You're right.
It's hard to pay attention.
That's why I like going to the parties.
And I know, and I get that. I'm not scolding anyone who does that. Like, that's I understand that's a big attraction for
but
the Super
wanna
Bowl.
You want to focus on the
I kinda
game.
I kind of need to pay attention to the game, though. So I think I've watched the last three Super Bowls. Like at home with my wife and kids.
So she's allowed in. James is allowed in. Your
well,
son's allowed
in. Well, they live there.
Yeah, you can't just lock the door.
Why don't they just go to a party and leave you home by yourself?
I think last year I told them that would be fine. I think my dad might come over on Sunday.
Yeah.
That's cool, too.
That's enough.
I'm just talking about like, and even a couple friends. I'm just talking, you know, like you end up in a room, everyone's talking, and you can't even get like a comfortable seat. Like you have to sit on the floor.
Right. You don't want that. You want to sit in the lap of luxury.
The food's good, though. When you
well, this ruins... Wendy and I were going to have a contest where the 10th caller got to come to your house and watch the Super Bowl, but now I don't think we can do it.
If probably they bring buffalo dip, he'll let them.
Then
if it's just one and they bring food, yeah.
All right.
And maybe like a six-pack, too.
I want to stray away from football for just a second, then we can come back to it. But last night I watched the Blackhawks game against the Coyotes, and I noticed, I don't know if you saw any of the game, Wendy.
Just a little.
The helmet of the goalie. Now, helmets have changed dramatically for goalies in our lifetime. It used to be just a standard Jason Voorhees mask from Friday the 13th.
It was scary.
That's all a goalie used to wear. But now they've gotten very, very creative. Every goalie has input as to what they want on their mask. The goalie, Smith, for the Coyotes last night, on the back of his mask has Alice Cooper, but not just like a caricature. It looks like it's, if you see him from the back, it looks like Alice Cooper's head is on backwards.
Really?
Holy. It's the coolest goalie mask I've ever seen. It's insanely cool.
I love how the NFL won't let you, like, wear different color socks.
Right.
But in the NHL, you could put Alice Cooper's face on the back of your head.
That's pretty kick. I didn't
see
that.
It was excellent. I kept wanting the Hawks to go behind the net, and they wouldn't. But every time they did show it a couple of times during the game, I go, I don't know who came up with that, but that's the best. It was so cool.
What are they, like, freak you out if you're behind the net. Like you're trying to set up a power play. And
right.
Whoa.
Right. And
no
that
more
guy,
Mr. Nice Guy.
The goalie for, yeah, there it is. Wendy's showing it on. Can we put a picture of this on Facebook? People have to see this. It's so frightening.
It's too real.
It looks like his face, right? And that goalie, there's no way he's old enough to have been around when Alice Cooper was in his prime. So I don't know what made him think of this.
I think I would just stop and give the other team the puck. It's that frightening.
This area is haunted. You take the puck. I don't want it. All right. So, again, you say it's close enough. It's a three-point spread. The Falcons are three-point underdogs. You say it's right around there. You think the victor will be who? Who do you think will walk away with the trophy?
I think the Patriots win in a very exciting, close game. And I'll also say this. I think it goes under. I think the over-under 60. People are expecting a lot of points.
That's very high for a Super Bowl.
People are expecting a lot of points because both these offenses are really good.
Right.
But I also think because both offenses are really good, both teams are going to want to shorten the game up.
Yeah.
And limit possessions.
Run balls a little bit more than throw
balls.
And
these defenses are underrated. I mean, both of these defenses are pretty good, too. So I think they're going to be able to shorten the game, and that's going to result in less points than people think. So maybe mid-20s type of game that the Patriots win by... you know, I hate to hit it right on the number, but I really think they win by like a field goal.
That close.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow, that's going to be a great game.
It usually is when the
Maybe
Patriots
I'll watch.
You should watch, Wendy.
You can come over.
All right.
You're allowed at
Adam's
house.
I'll just make you dips and stuff. I'll make you little wiener wraps.
Are you in?
I'm in.
Can't
Cold beer,
no
that's
that.
All I require.
That's all.
I will be here, though, till right up to kickoff. We have a Super Bowl show from 3 to 5:30. on Sunday, and my podcast partner, Adam Johns, is actually going to be sitting in with me for that entire time. So with plenty of football, more on Jimmy Garoppolo possibly coming to the Bears too. So we'll take you right up to kickoff, and it'll be a lot of fun.
Excellent. Great job.
Thank you so much, Adam. I appreciate it. That's Adam Hoag from our sports department. We'll take a quick break, then some news. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. But you know what's great about Kurt Wagner of TVShowPatrol.com?
Tell me.
A lot of guys, myself included, will pick a certain style of hat, like I've gone with the baseball cap. And more days than not, I will wear a baseball cap. Kurt, on the other hand, is more hat-friendly, and he'll wear a myriad of different kind of hats.
I wear them all.
Today is Elmer Fudd's.
An Elmer Fudd-type hat.
Quasi Wabbit.
Were you out hunting Wabbit before the show today?
I was not.
All right.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Those are very popular now.
Very popular.
You know what? The flaps.
Yeah, that's very popular.
Out. Functional. If you drive let's say you're piloting a prop like plane a later in the day, you'll have a hat ready for it.
That's what it looks like.
A little bow in here.
Yeah.
Be a bonnet.
Why not? Why not? But sometimes you'll like, we never know from time to
you
time.
You like a Swiss Alp hat.
I do enjoy, of all your hats, the Swiss Alp hat is my favorite.
It's a little too cold for the
very
Swiss
nice
Alps
hat
today.
All right, there's a lot to discuss from the world of television. Most of it right there on your website, TVShowPatrol.com. But since you're here, this is the most exciting thing to me, the return to television of one of the finest of all time, Carol Burnett.
Yes.
Love her.
Isn't she great?
Yep.
What's happening with Carol Burnett?
It's a ABC, I think.
Variety show again, I'm hoping.
No, it's not
no.
a variety show. Too
no.
bad.
Dagnabbit.
Too bad. But Amy Poehler's production company is involved, and it was pretty much a done deal right away once they said Carol Burnett would be in it.
Yeah, how do you say no to that? I have this idea for a show involving Carol Burnett. Okay.
Yeah, but now they picked it up. It's called Household Name, and it's about a family who has an opportunity to buy the house of their dreams, but there's one caveat. They have to live in the house with a famous has-been actress.
Oh. Like Hugh Hefner, remember? He was selling
right.
the... Not that he's
right.
a has-been actress,
right.
but he was selling the Playboy Mansion, and the deal was if you bought it, he could still
there.
Live there. Yes.
Yeah, that seems fair.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
he'd
so
be
so
creepy. I'm in the shower, Hef.
You remember when she did the... on the Carol Burnett Show, when she did the spoof of Gloria Swanson from...
Yes.
I keep seeing that in my head, although I doubt it's going to be exactly like that. But
she's still got it, man.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it because I remember watching Carol Burnett all the time.
How old of a lady would Carol be at this time, would you say? She's got to be late 70s.
I mean, just how old
80s.
Is Carol Burnett?
How old is Carol Burnett?
yeah,
let's cut to the chase.
I would say late 70s, 80s.
All right.
But I don't know that for sure.
It's very rare that TV would go out of their way to accommodate somebody of that age. But when you're Carol Burnett, you certainly deserve that.
All right.
If your name is on something,
yeah. You know, she still does her...
she's 83.
One-woman show, you know, like she's been here and done her thing before. So, yeah, she's still working it.
When can we expect to see the show?
Well, it's a pilot, and this is pilot season, so they will make the pilot, and then they will decide if they want to pick it up for a series, and then it would probably be next fall.
All right. And is there anybody else?
Or this fall.
Any other names attached at this point? Do we know anybody else who's co-starring, or it's just Carol Burnett so far?
Yeah, that's the only one. That's the only person I've seen.
All right.
The name I've seen.
That's all you need, really.
Yeah,
I'm in. As
seriously.
Soon as I hear Carol Burnett, I'm in. Wendy, you'll be thrilled to learn that we've not had enough Sharknado. Sharknado will continue.
Do you know, I have seen everyone.
There's been four so far?
Yes.
And you and Kevin seemed surprised when I said that yesterday.
Embarrassed more than surprised.
Don't, come on. It's stupid, it's campy, and it makes me laugh.
Yeah, it is what it is. I mean, who can deny the fun of a shark falling from the sky
right.
and swallowing someone whole.
And Tara right. Reid's flotation devices.
Yeah. Yep.
Exactly.
Good God.
Exactly. She'll be back. And so Ian Ziering.
Yeah, he's always in these too, isn't he?
He plays a guy named Finn.
And they
get it?
Yes.
And they always find people from various walks of life that you usually wouldn't put in made-for-television movies,
right.
they always find their way in.
They do the bizarre cameos.
Yeah. Is that going to continue?
I'm sure
continue?
It will.
We don't
will.
Have
they've
a
just
list
announced
yet.
That, they've, that they're going to do it, but I'm sure that'll be the case.
And
yes.
this is based on a true story, right?
Yeah.
This actually
this
happened
is based
at some
on
point.
A true story. And they're actually going to, they say they're going international now. They're going to film in like five different countries.
Oh, that'll make it better.
Have you seen them?
I've seen, I didn't see the last one, but I've seen all the others before, yeah.
They're just so stupidly
And you know, I have
funny.
A shark when I went to Comic-Con one year. I don't know which Sharknado it was, but the sci-fi party
yeah.
was Sharknado themed. So they had shark pillows all over the place.
Oh.
Like they had both pillows
yeah.
in a regular square shape with sharks on them, but then they also had
shark-shaped pillows,
which I just walked out with one and I still have it.
You sleep with
bed.
It every night.
I think that's called stealing. I'm almost positive you
nope, nope.
could be
I saw
arrested
the publicist
for that.
And I said on my way out, are these okay for us to take?
And now you
sure.
own one. Oh, good. Well, that's a plus.
And so I just had to stuff it in my suitcase and fly home.
A little while ago, we had Adam Hogan talking about the Super Bowl that takes place on Sunday. Now, the price for the commercials in a Super Bowl just keeps going up and up and up and up. Where are we this year with Super Bowl commercials?
The story I saw said $5 million for 30 seconds.
Imagine that.
I can't imagine that. And especially with the internet now, there were a couple of companies, Kraft, I believe, is giving their employees the day off following the Super Bowl and not spending money on an ad. So Kraft got talked about.
Yeah.
And the Tostitos are not doing a commercial per se, but they're getting these bags that are distributed that is like a mini breathalyzer yeah. type thing that it's a combination promo with Uber.
Mm-hmm.
And you can call and use the code and save $10 off your Uber and not drink and drive. So, and
people
now
are thinking of other methods
yeah.
to spend their money.
And with yeah. the internet, can't you see the commercials like now already?
Well, some of them are, but some of them are like teases. It's so funny. Some of them are sort of trailers for the commercials. But sometimes they post them, and sometimes they post them early.
You're not getting your bang for your buck on that, are you?
I wouldn't think so, but
$5 million for a 30-second spot.
Do you remember years ago when they crossed the now? And again, it's $5 million for 30-second, but several years ago when they crossed the $1 million threshold for a 60. Everybody was saying, "Well, it can't go much higher than that." Imagine spending $1 million for a TV commercial, and now a decade or so later, we're at $5 million for a 30.
And that was probably $1 million for a minute in this.
Right, it was. It was.
And we talked about this. Is it really going to change your mind? I know it's cool and you talk about the product, but if it's not something you currently use.
Right. Would you switch? If you drank Pepsi all day, every day, and you saw a great Coke commercial, would you go, oh, you know what?
No.
Time to switch.
No. But I think what it might be good for is new products, maybe.
Well, who was the company?
Or maybe it just keeps something memorable. But I often feel like those commercials are really hide the product or not don't necessarily hide the product, but you're so excited about the commercial or the content of the commercial
it.
It's almost like
you don't know what it is. What was the car company that had Darth Vader? Was that VW?
I think it was Volkswagen, but I'm not 100%
sure. I mean, if my husband Jim didn't go out and get a VW because of that, then it doesn't work.
Then it's ineffective. It's very, very true. There was some company a couple of years ago who spent their entire advertising budget for the year on one Super Bowl ad. And then when it was all said and done and they came to them and said, was it a success? They were like, we really don't know. I mean, people are aware of us now, but, it takes a year to even know if we succeeded
You know, it's in front of a lot of eyes.
And that's good.
Because the Super Bowl has a lot of viewers.
Right.
If it's effective, I don't know. I don't know that I've ever seen a Super Bowl commercial and said, oh, that was clever. I'm going to go out and buy the Frito-Lays or whatever,
We've got Dennis Ryan will be in on the show on Monday. Dennis is an advertising guy, has been for years here in Chicago and Minneapolis for a while. And he talks about how ad agencies sometimes rise and fall based on one day of the year, based on Super Bowl Sunday. There are ad agencies that have gone under because they've invested so much in a specific company or ad, and it's failed, and then they're done. Right. That's how serious that gets.
I think it's kind of precarious for both the ad agencies and the product, the companies that are advertising, because what if it's not a well-received commercial? Like, what if people decide, the politically incorrect folks decide there's something wrong with it? And then you're just sort of tainted.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. A quick break. And then Kurt Wagner. This is a good time to change your hat, by the way, Kurt. If you're doing hat changes, do it now. TVshowpatrol.com is the name of his website. And we'll continue with that in just a little bit. You know who's here is Kurt Wagner from TVshowpatrol.com. He's telling us all the things we need to know about the world of television, including a new show on Netflix that you say is very, very funny, The Santa Clarita Diet. What is that, Kurt?
It is a comedy. I call it a zomcom. Some people call it a zombie.
Funny zombies.
Yeah.
Right?
Nothing like them.
And actually, that is a genre, because there's another. I can think of another couple of zom-coms. But Drew Barrymore's in it, and Timothy Oliphant was in Justified.
I love those, too.
Yes. And Timothy Oliphant, when I used to interview him for Justified, that was a drama, and he played this tough guy, right?
Yeah.
And he always talked about how he played that like it was a comedy.
Really?
Like, he goes, I always thought I was in a comedy. And at first I thought he was joking when he was telling me that. But then he was like, no, seriously, I always try to play the humor. You know, and it was. He, like, his facial expressions and all that stuff were great as Raylan Givens.
He was also Seth Bullock on Deadwood on HBO.
Yes, he
and
was.
He was incredible in that.
And in this, I laughed so hard just at his reactions and his facial expressions. I mean, there's great writing in this. I think it's hilarious. It's the same guy who did Better Off Ted, which was this ABC comedy, workplace comedy, that I loved that didn't last very long.
Mm-hmm.
But he's just hilarious. And so the story is that he and Drew Barrymore are married, and they live in the suburbs. They're both real estate agents. They work together.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've been married 25 years. They have a daughter. And, you know, things are just kind of a little flat and boring in their lives. So she dies. And if you, in the funniest death scene ever, and comes back to life immediately as a zombie. And she suddenly got this taste for human flesh. And he doesn't even realize that she died, because she just starts puking while they're showing a house in the house.
Sold.
And it is the best puke scene
really?
Ever. It just, I could not stop laughing.
I don't remember Drew Barrymore ever being a part of a regular TV series. Has she been? This is new for her, right?
Yeah, this is new for her.
Yeah.
And it's,
I'm a huge fan of hers.
It's 10 episodes, it's a half hour comedy, but there's just so many funny lines. And, you know, it's sort of about the ideas that, you know, she's escaping her suburban life by becoming a zombie. Not that she meant to or anything, but.
She can talk. The zombies in this.
Talk. Yeah. She's perfectly functional, and it's just that she has this insatiable appetite for human flesh. But she also is more bold. She's kind of a, you know, she's kind of meek, I guess. And she becomes more bold and as she becomes,
in zombie form.
Yeah, as she becomes more bold and more confident, she starts to do things that, oops, you know, then her husband has to cover up. You know, has to cover
up. He knows she's a zombie, obviously.
Well, he knows she's eating flesh and everything.
Guys,
what do you do
that
and
way.
so the whole idea is also sort of, it's sort of a little bit about how they repair their marriage or their family.
More excitement, that's for sure.
In light of what's going on with her. And I just, every episode there's funny stuff. I have a review on my website, and I have a line that just sold it for
you
me.
You can't do it on the radio. I know what the line is, but you can't.
right. That's why I'm just saying go and read it at TVshowpatrol.com.
Is this show, Santa Clarita Diet, you mentioned it's on Netflix. Is it available now? Can people see it now?
Yes,
it
started today. Dropped today.
Okay,
all 10
good.
Episodes are there. So you
I will watch it.
Stream it today.
That sounds funny.
It really does sound funny.
Just
as I say in my review, don't watch while you're eating.
Yeah.
All right,
that's
good
safe.
Point.
That's fair. Another return to television from an old favorite, and that's Dynasty coming back?
Yeah, it's...
The
CW has picked up the pilot for it, so it may not get picked up to series, but they're going to shoot a pilot. And
Linda Evans back?
No, unless she's back as grandma somebody, I don't know, but...
They're focusing on the younger characters?
Yeah, they're focusing on the daughters of... She played Crystal, right? Yeah. So in this series, Crystal will be a Hispanic woman who marries into this WASP family, and she is at odds with her daughter, her stepdaughter.
Yeah.
And so that's sort of the focus. So they, you know, it's got a new twist to it and everything, but it's basically the same thing, you know, these rich folks fighting.
I know they had a very, very loyal audience over there at Dynasty, but I wonder if so much time
like
has passed.
Like we've moved on?
Yeah. I think
at so.
This point,
well, you know, CW... I guess they didn't bring back. Did they bring back 90210 or was that?
Yeah,
Fox?
Yes.
I can't remember.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of that kind of thing where they're just, you know, okay, let's get some younger people in there and we'll
did
see.
Did Fuller House do this where everybody's now trying to reboot and
I
come
don't know
back?
If it was necessarily Fuller House. I mean, X-Files happened. Well, I guess Fuller House, X-Files was after Fuller House, but who knows?
But they do keep recycling.
Yeah.
There's so
Although,
many shows.
Although, so far in this pilot season for next year, they're aren't very many of these reboots.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Can't wait till they remake Gilligan's Island. Will you be Gilligan?
Yeah, I would love to be the, yeah, that'd
I
be
would
fun.
Be Gilligan, too. Be
you can't both be Gilligan.
I could be the professor.
That's the twist, Wendy. Double Gilligan's Island. It's better
hey,
that
yeah,
way.
There's no captain.
Right.
Gilligan Mulligan.
Gilligan's.
Now you're talking.
All right. And see, then, this is what these meetings are like when they're pitching
like being
new
in
shows.
Hollywood. Yeah, it's just like being in the studio. And then one more, if we can, Kurt. And again, this is kind of a reboot, but it kind of isn't. After the Super Bowl, we'll find out what 24 Legacy is all about. This is the show that Kiefer Sutherland fronted for years,
right.
and everybody loved him as Jack Bauer, but there's no sign of him anymore.
He's the producer on this, but he's not in it at all. But it's the same template.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same template, except the new guy now is played by Corey Hawkins.
Do we know him from anything specific?
He was in yes, he was in something.
He was in something? All right, then I'll watch it.
And he was really good in it.
Yeah.
The Dr. Dre, I can't remember.
I don't
anyway.
Know.
He
plays a new.
He's a former Ranger, Army Ranger, who did a mission, and suddenly all the Army Rangers from that mission are being killed off, even though they're sort of in protection.
Yeah,
you know, they're under new identities
yeah.
and everything, and they're being killed off. And he figures out that they're being killed off, and so he's sort of on the run, but also trying to protect his wife and find out the mystery of this whole thing.
The mere fact that they're putting this on after the Super Bowl says to Fox, they have a lot of faith in the show
because right.
they don't just throw on anything. They really want a show to succeed in that
And it'll
spot.
Be on Mondays regularly.
Oh.
So they're doing, it's basically a two-part premiere, Sunday and Monday. So it's the second part will be Monday right away.
Good. That's Kurt Wagner from TVShowPatrol.com. Did you pray for Arnold Schwarzenegger like you were supposed to? Pray for him?
Sure.
You're supposed to pray for him.
Sure.
TVShowPatrol.com. That's the website. Thank you, Kurt. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Kurt.
Yeah.
Some news and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Thank you, Kim. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Effman. It's Wendy Snyder.
Hi again.
Hi, Wendy. We're overly friendly, and we're easily reached at 312-981-7200. You can call us there. You can text us there. Whatever's easiest for you.
Are you going to be going to a Super Bowl party?
No, I'll just watch it at home with my family.
Don't you have any friends?
I have friends.
Yeah. No one invited you to a party?
You know, much like we had Adam Hoge here, and he was saying how he prefers to watch it at home so you can focus on the game. And for me, it's the commercials, too. I like seeing the commercials. I don't watch them in advance. I like seeing them live during the broadcast. I'm like that during the Academy Awards. I'm like that during almost anything. Even like when the World Series, I had a bunch of friends having things going, hey, come on by. It's going to be fun. It would be fun. But for me, it's better to take it all in at home with just my family.
See, are they going to watch it? Because I really don't have, I don't care, really care
too
much.
You're not going to watch too
no.
much of it?
But I get what you're saying, because if I'm watching a Hawks game and you go to a bar to watch it or to someone's house,
yeah.
I'm not, I like to like relax on
sure.
my couch. I like to really get into it. So I do understand it.
Yeah.
I just have nothing vested into this Super Bowl right now.
It's.
Except for Gaga.
It's, yeah, the halftime show.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be fun to see, won't it? One of the reasons I'm mad at the Bears is they've taken my love of football and thrown it on the ground and stepped on it. You know, for me, one of the highlights of the week was watching a football game or two or sometimes three on Sunday. And now it's the furthest thing from my mind. I've watched so little football this year that, like yourself, I don't have that much invested in this game for some reason.
No, and I was invited to a Super Bowl party, but I kind of don't want to go. And it's not because I don't want to see the people. I don't really care.
You'd rather do anything else.
Kind of.
Yeah, I understand that.
Although maybe if I go to the party, then I don't have to pay attention to the game.
I guarantee you, having been to Super Bowl parties, there's always a bunch of people sitting watching the game intently, and then there's other people doing everything else. So
I do want the squares, though. I never win, but I like to
bet on.
Yeah,
yeah,
so maybe I will go.
All right.
I don't know. We are going to take a call right now. Hey, Joe, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. You sent a text earlier this morning, and you've piqued our curiosity, so it sounds like you have a pitch for us.
Well, we're hitting the road next weekend, and I want to wear your T-shirt while we're on the road and take pictures, you know, in front of everything.
Bill has come up with this fantastic idea that a little slogan, I guess, is payback is a Wendy.
Right.
I should be offended by it. I'm really not.
There's been a phrase around for decades. Payback is a, and then a word that is not, you know, it's not for the family.
Female dog.
It's a female dog. Payback is a female dog. But we did our own version of it here on the show. Payback is a Wendy and had shirts printed up. Thanks very much to Mark Doyle over at Rags of Honor and our friend David Huckberg. We're behind these shirts. So we had a limited run of these shirts, and people seem to like them. It's you're making a very angry face, Wendy. It was a rare opportunity for us to capture that moment of you making
it's
a very...
It's our promo picture.
And it's also in our promo picture, yeah.
That's on the website, so it's right. Not like it's just my face.
Right.
It's not even
Oh,
really...
I thought you were trying to be angry. No. I apologize. I'm so sorry. But... But yeah, you've seen the shirt, right? It's a pretty good looking shirt, right, Joe?
Yeah, it's perfect. It's exactly what I want.
All right, we do have a limited amount. Bill's kind of the shirt keeper in this instance.
Yeah.
So you're traveling out of state, and you want to do like a flat Stanley kind of thing, where you take a picture of yourself in front of various landmarks with my stupid shirt on you.
Exactly.
Where are you going? Can you say, Joe?
Well, first we're going to Arkansas. We're running a half marathon there. I'll take a picture there.
Yeah.
And then we'll probably stop in Mobile, Alabama or Jackson, Mississippi. I'll try to get a picture there.
Will you wear the shirt during the half marathon?
I can if you'd like.
No, don't.
Could
do
we
it.
Cut it and give you a half shirt to wear during the half marathon? Like a bare midriff shirt?
Yeah, I won't wear pants either.
Oh,
oh my God.
How about that?
I can't sign off on this. And so, then where else are you going to visit?
Then we're going to Orlando, and then we're going to go to Universal and Disney and then NASA and all that stuff down there.
Why do you want to do this, Joe?
Because I love you, Wendy.
Oh, it's about love, Wendy. Come on.
You're sweet.
This is so nice. And I bet your shirt, like other, you've been to Disney World, you see people wearing shirts with Mickey Mouse and Pinocchio and stuff like that. I bet people go, at which kiosk did you get that shirt? I want to get that character on my shirt.
Well, I'll just direct them to your show, of course.
All right.
Yeah, we got to get some advertising on there. We kind of failed to mention that it's on WGN
Radio. It doesn't say WGN at all.
But that's a good thing because our hours are changing.
Yeah, that's true.
Too bad we didn't know in advance, but all right. Well, Joe, I can't say no to you. I love you right back.
You've
got
to have a shirt, Joe. No question.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot.
When are you leaving? We got to make sure we get this to you before you leave.
We're leaving Friday about 3 a.m. So,
Kevin, can you drive it out to Joe's house by Friday at 3 a.m.? Yes?
Yeah, it's only a two-hour drive.
I think he can do it. Yeah, Kevin can do that. We can get that done.
You'll get that done before he goes on his trip, Kevin? He doesn't know. Joe, there's no promises.
Well, I don't have a car. That's the thing.
Oh, come on, Kevin.
Can
Details.
We have somebody upstairs mail it?
Well, that's what we always do, yeah.
Will it get there by next Friday?
I think. That's out of my hands.
I think it would.
It should.
I think it would.
It should.
All right, well, Joe, hang on. I don't know if Kevin needs your details. Have a very safe trip. And...
Good luck in the half marathon.
What's that?
Good luck in the half marathon.
Oh, thank you very much. It'll be my 44th state half marathon.
That's outstanding. Good for you.
Wow. You going for all 50?
Yep, and I'll bring your shirt to the rest of the remaining states that I do. We're doing Hawaii in September, and I'll make sure I'll wear it out there.
I'll tell you what. Why don't you just bring me to Hawaii? That'd Wouldn't that be better than the shirt?
Okay, you can pretend to be my wife.
Okay, I hope she's not listening, Joe, because you just got yourself in big trouble. All right, well, hang on a second.
We'll get you a shirt, Joe.
How flattering.
That is flattering. Now, if he wins the half marathon, your face is going to be in all kinds of half marathon magazines and stuff.
Is that a smaller magazine if it's a half marathon?
Yeah, it's much smaller.
All right, that's exciting. I don't really know what we're doing with these T-shirts, and you need to kind of keep track of this because I don't know how many we have. I don't.
Well, they're not. I want to say they're going fast, but we've been very stingy on giving them away because it's such a limited run. Although both Mark Doyle and David Hochberg have said at some point if we need more, they haven't been specific on how many we're allowed to give away and how quickly we can ask for more, but they said we would be certainly open to doing more shirts. So let's hope so.
Can we get my face off the next
one? No, that's what sells it.
I don't like my face.
Oh, that's what everybody loves. That's the best part.
You want T-shirts that have like a cool saying or something funny.
Yeah.
You don't want somebody's face.
Everyone who's gotten them so far has commented how much they enjoy it. So I think it's the face that sells it.
It's...
It's what?
I just, you know...
I did think you were... I'm serious.
I thought you were making a mean face. I thought, no. But it's just your promo picture.
That's the one where I was making a, like, I don't even know. It's not mean.
Oh,
that's
no.
That's just me.
Thought, oh, all right. Because we looked through upstairs. We had about 24 different samples, and that was the one that everybody agreed was the meanest looking one. I thought you were
How
going
How many people did you get involved in this?
I don't know. A select few. There was, you know, just 5 or 6 of us. But everybody's looking at him going, that one looks mean. That one's really mean. That's the meanest one. And we went with that one. But I didn't know it was just standard promo shot. Now I feel bad.
It's the one of us where I'm leaning on your shoulder making a, like, face.
Yeah, whatever.
It's not mean. It's a pfft.
Yeah, that's more accurate. That's
you did take the worst picture ever. I mean, there are several other options you could have.
But we were, you know, we were selling an attitude.
Yes, you were, and yes, you are. You're not selling it. Mark Doyle from Rags of Honor, a quality T-shirt. It's really great.
They're really well made.
Thanks to him. Thanks to David Hochberg of Pearl Mortgage, which the Pearl Mortgage is bigger than the front.
Yes, it is.
It says it on the back.
I noticed that, too.
But he paid for it.
Yes, so he got to make that decision. And you can refinance shirts through him now, too. Did you know that?
No.
That's a new service he's providing.
I wouldn't doubt it.
If you don't want to pay for the shirt all at once, you can do it in installments. It's crazy. You got to qualify. I don't know how he does it. All right. We'll take a quick break, and then we have more show for you. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Are you running down a dream, Bill? You were fake running right there.
Yeah. I was air running to Tom Petty's song. It's Bill Effen, it's Wendy Snyder. We're at 312-981-7200. If you have a question or a comment or you just need a shirt, like our last caller, Joe, just wanted a shirt with your picture on it. No harm done there. He mentioned that he'll be wearing the shirt in Orlando, Florida at Disney World. There's an interesting story about Disney World in the news today, and it's kind of a follow-up to something that happened immediately after the election. Here's what's going on. At Disney World, they have a... can't even call it a ride. It's an attraction called Hall of Presidents. It's been there for years. So what you have there is, if you've never seen it, it's pretty impressive. You sit in a room and all of the U.S. presidents that have been are all standing together, and they talk about the history of the country and where America is and what America is all about.
The detail on these presidents are pretty amazing. I will say that.
You know, when you're watching it, Disney has a word for their wax figures. They call them audio animatronic figures. You see them in all the rides. But when you see all the presidents standing side by side, or some of them sitting,
it's pretty.
It gets you.
It really right? does. It's effective at making you proud to be
right.
an American.
Right. That said, it's both my daughter's least favorite attraction at Disney World by far.
But it's the coolest, and when it's like 112 degrees,
right.
it is so
right.
nice to sit there and get in the air conditioning.
Right. Right. Now, in the old days of the ride attraction, I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, it's not a ride.
It's not a ride. It is an
it's
attraction.
A sit.
It's a sit. It's the opposite of a ride. In the old days of the attraction, Abraham Lincoln was the one who addressed the audience, and then the other presidents just kind of stood by and nodded. I can't remember who it is. I told you this last time. At some point during Abe Lincoln's speech, one of the presidents, they're not in any order when you see them on stage. They're all just kind of thrown around, the
Willy
old
nilly.
And the new. Yeah, President willy-nilly is there.
What number was he?
I think 19.
Okay.
Right?
President willy-nilly.
So he's there next to Buchanan, next to Garfield. And at some point, one of the presidents... like whispers something to another president. It's like Garfield and Madison. He whispers, like, I always envision him going, how much longer is this thing? Like that kind of, I don't know what he's saying to him.
I thought he said he's got toilet paper on the bottom of his shoe.
It could have been that. It definitely, you can't tell because it's real subtle.
I don't remember that I saw that happening.
Yeah, as a kid, I always watched for that moment where one of them just leans in like, oh my God, how long do we have to stand here? We've been doing this all day.
What time is our golf game?
Right, right. All right, so it used to be Abe Lincoln. Now, he's still there. They didn't take Abe Lincoln
right.
away. But in the last several years, it's been Barack Obama. He voiced this speech, and they had Barack Obama's
It was
audio
really
item.
Him, too. It wasn't a...
Right. He would go in every day, like 15 shows a day. I don't know how he did it.
No, I mean, it was really his voice.
It was really his voice.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, now there's people... I don't know if you saw this in the paper, Wendy. There's a lot of people upset that Donald Trump is the president. It was in the paper.
A lot of people happy, too.
Well, there's a petition that the Donald Trump figure must either be removed or silenced.
They don't want Donald Trump's figure in there, or even if you, if there is in there, he can't talk. They don't want him talking in there.
First of all, my feelings aside, you can't do that. You can't do that.
Right. It's part of the historical record that he is the president. You can't deny that. You can't just leave an open space.
I know.
Where he would be.
That would be funny, but you can't do that.
They could get Orange Bird. You know, they've got that Orange Bird Pavilion where they sell orange juice.
Oh, yeah.
They could throw him in there.
Near the Tiki Hut or whatever, yeah. The Tiki Birds.
Yeah. They're roughly the same color. So they could do that if they wanted to. But again, people would complain. Why is the Orange Bird sitting in for Donald Trump?
They can't do that. And they should get Mike Pence ready to go just in case.
They show him throwing in the bullpen. If you look in the back, you're like, who's that guy with white hair just thrown in the bullpen? Who is that? With President Obama, this is at on Variety's website this morning. With President Obama already having taken his place in Disney World's Florida Hall of Presidents alongside his 43 predecessors, the question had been raised if it would be wise to include speeches from an animatronic figure of the newest president at their attraction.
Now, I thought it was closed because I thought they were already building.
They did. They closed it down for a while to add him, and I think they have to slide guys around a little bit. Don't they?
Yeah, they have to shuffle them.
They have to shuffle the guys around a little bit. So far, more than 10,000 people have signed an online petition at change.org demanding that Disney refrain from giving voice to the Donald Trump figure placed in the pantheon of presidents. The petition's argument is that an environment where families and children come for a fun time might not be a right one for Trump's hateful speech, misogyny, racism, and xenophobia. Well, they, I think
they won't
have
him record grabber by the.
No.
That would be bad.
Oh, no.
Mickey will have none of that.
What did he say? That's not good for anybody.
But, you know, have him say something positive. They can control that, correct?
Sure.
But they got to have him in there.
Well, yeah, he has to be. I mean, look, we've had other presidents with scandal involved, and
absolutely,
they're still in there. So the question isn't, well, I guess the question is whether or not he should be in there at all. Some people say no, but he's got to be in there because he's part of the presidency. But it is, the key is you got to watch what he's saying, I guess.
Yeah, but that's one thing I would imagine they could control.
Right, right.
It's their exhibit.
Right.
If they, you know, I know Donald Trump, President Donald Trump does not like to get orders from anyone. But
right,
if Disney says, hey, here's what we want you to say.
Yeah.
If he refuses, you know what? Then they have the right to not put him in there.
Right. He'll say Disney World's going downhill. It's an abomination.
A disaster.
Go to Magic Mountain. It's better.
You're fired.
Don't put the Billy Bush figure anywhere near the Trump figure. That's where the trouble starts.
I love you, Mickey.
He has tainted the legacy of the American presidency forever, the petition reads. Only 10,000 signatures. Now, when I first heard about this, I thought, uh-oh, there's going to be a lot of people boycotting this. But no, it's only 10,000. It's not dramatic.
How long has it been out?
A couple of weeks. Several
weeks.
Oh,
yeah.
The Magic Kingdom at Disney World is a place specifically designed for the enjoyment of children and families, it says. It would be inappropriate for there to be a Donald Trump speech. We ask that Walt Disney World take a stand against divisive and hurtful rhetoric and have the backs of millions of Americans and people worldwide whose day would be ruined by the depiction of a speech by Donald Trump.
All right, here's the thing. When I went there a couple of years ago, the Bill Cosby story had come forth.
Right.
It was made public.
Right.
And I took my picture with the bust of Bill Cosby because I kind of couldn't believe it was still there.
Right.
Very soon after I returned from Disney, they had removed it. Now, that's something different.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
cannot mess with the man who is president now.
Well, they had the thing you're referring to at Disney honors some of the most important people in the history of television. So you could, under these circumstances, and they did, they decided Bill Cosby being there was disruptive.
It took them a while, though.
But it did take them a while.
Which, because you even said to me, you were surprised that was still up there.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah, that's why I took my picture with it. And soon thereafter, it was removed.
It was out.
But after the news broke on Bill Cosby's charges,
yeah,
it was still up for quite some time.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And that's not like, Disney is one of those companies that is so incredibly protective of their brand. They don't want any controversy in terms of this kind of thing. The petition had a preliminary target of 15,000 signatures, at which point it says it will be delivered to the Walt Disney Company. The attraction...
Yeah, but first of all, they don't have 15,000 signatures.
10,000.
And second of all, Walt Disney Industries will go, okay, thanks for dropping this off. Have a great day.
I think so. I don't think... even though that's a lot of people, 15,000, and they're only at 10...
That's not that many people.
That's not enough to...
How many visitors do they get worldwide every year?
Millions.
Yeah, they don't care.
The attraction itself is currently closed, so the new animatronic figure... could it still be closed? We started talking about this in November or December.
I don't know if it has been reopened. Somebody wants to know if Bill Clinton, during this animatronic display, says, hey, where's my intern?
Yes. Yes. Well, they had to take out, there was a desk in front of him, and they had to take...
Stop it!
They had to remove the desk. The attraction itself, it says, is currently closed so that the new animatronic figure can be installed. That would be the figure of Donald Trump. And it is scheduled to reopen in June. It takes that long? Why does it take so long? That's a long time. As part of the attraction, the sitting president typically gives a speech. Now, like I said, it wasn't always that way. That started, I think, with Barack Obama. I don't remember any of the previous modern-day presidents making a speech. I remember them all being there, but I don't think they made a speech. I thought Barack Obama was the first. I thought.
So was Abraham Lincoln the narrator before?
Yeah, for the whole time.
I thought so.
Because when it started out in Disneyland, they didn't have space to do all the presidents, so it was just called like, what was it called, A Night with Mr. Lincoln or something like that. It was just Abraham Lincoln by himself making a speech, and then when Disney World opened, they said, we can do this way better, and they added all the presidents.
It's pretty impressive, and if you haven't gone in it and your kids are like, nah, I didn't want to do it, let's go in It's a Small World again for the 90th time, just take them in there once, because I think every kid should see that at least once.
I loved it as a kid, but my daughter's lost interest like a minute in. They're like, they're just all standing there. Yeah, but they're talking
not
about
a lot
America.
Of entertainment, but
no,
it's a lot of history.
I know. But they like the Country Bear Jamboree more than they like this.
Isn't that sad?
Yes.
You know what I say, Wendy? Donald Duck, not Donald Trump.
All right, a quick break, some news, and then more show. But first, we have something to give away.
Mickey, I didn't think you were supposed to get political.
I do sometimes.
It's time for the Bill and Wendy fight.
I'm a bad mouse.
You're a bad mama jamma.
Bad mama mousa. Did someone say mimosa? Oh, boy.
Thank you, Kim. Welcome back. This is part two of our Friday show. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. Thrilled that you're listening. If you want to jump in at any point during the show, 312-981-7200 is the way to do it.
All right. Well, happy birthday to Steve Bertrand. Woo, sorry. God, he leaves his headphones up pretty loud.
Yeah.
Getting hard of hearing now that he's older, you know.
Wow. Happy birthday and a slam all in one move.
That's
well played.
We
that was beautiful.
Well, I thought it would be nice if we got a little spread from Bona Beef for Steve Bertrand's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great idea for a Super Bowl party. Every time my kids got, communion and I guess baptism, they didn't choose the menu. But
So Bona Beef is the official sacrament food.
In our
Snyder
family.
McInerney family.
Absolutely.
Someone's having a sacrament, you're getting bone of beef.
Yeah, because the family expects it. You know, they're giving a check for your kid.
Right.
You want to feed them well.
Yes.
And bone of beef, bone means good, if I could just tell you that.
Sure it is.
They also have, aside from really the greatest beef sandwich in Jardiniere ever, they have fantastic Italian sausage.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a peanut pack.
I remember he played for the Bears for a while, but that's all I remember about Peanut Pack.
Funny you say that. It raises money for the Charles Tillman Cornerstone Foundation party pack.
Oh, excellent. Good.
Both packs include the Italian beef, the sausage, Italian bread, sweet or hot jardiniere, and you can order for your Super Bowl party or just for a Sunday.
Any sacrament? What's the next sacrament you guys have coming
confirmation.
Up in the
Dylan's
confirmation.
Dylan's going to get confirmed. It's been every, I know that there are seven sacraments, and it does seem like we've had Bona Beef for pretty much all the sacraments.
Well, I look forward to one of you dying so that I can be there for the deathbed and enjoy some Bona Beef.
This
that'll
did
be
not go how I wanted
be
it.
Delicious.
God, you really, you're not invited. I will tell my family you are not to come to my funeral.
So how you feeling? You feeling okay?
Yeah, because we're hungry. We want some more Bona Beef.
All right. Well, thanks to Bona Beef.
Last rites. Nothing says last rites like Bona Beef.
I'll tell you, if that's the last thing I eat, I'll be happy. Seriously.
Good. It's delicious.
But here's why we mentioned Bona Beef, aside from the fact that they're great and a great idea for your Super Bowl party. You can go to Bona.com. We have a $50 gift card to give away to a lucky listener right now to perhaps supplement their Super Bowl party.
That's a good idea.
So you pick the caller and give the number.
Caller 11 right now at 312-981-7200. Be caller 11. You'll win everything Wendy just described.
It's a $50 gift card from Bona Beef. Go to Bona.com. And
it's not just for sacraments anymore.
No, and whoever wins, whoever's the 11th caller, is not invited to my funeral either because of you.
As a bonus. As a Bona bonus.
Okay, that's funny. All right, Kevin, hit the other song right now. He's busy in there answering
the phones.
I know,
he's talking to the phone people.
Ellen from Downers Grove? Ellen, it just says Ellen Down.
Yeah, well, oh, that's sad. Ellen Down, everybody. Here
Ellen
it is.
Downers Grove.
Congratulations, Ellen. Wendy, let's play a quick game called Where Were You 35 Years Ago? This is one of the most favorite radio games of all time. Where were you 35 years ago, Wendy?
I was enjoying some Bona Beef.
Were you?
Yes.
Right? I was probably doing something similar.
I can't even remember what I did yesterday.
So that's not a fair question. Let's go to the phone lines and see who's on the line. Oh, look, it's my best friend in the whole wide world, Grant Mulvey, Chicago Blackhawk great Grant Mulvey. Grant, do you remember by any chance where you were 35 years ago today?
Well, I was thinking about having Bona Beef for my confirmation.
You were?
My mom and dad weren't as cool as Wendy.
Thank you.
You know, they didn't have that kind of stuff. Like, we had some real bad cake or something like that. Bona Beef would have been so much better.
Of course.
See, half Italian. We have an Italian family. If you don't feed them, they get ornery. So that's why you have to.
I 35 years ago, it's hard to believe. Like, I was 35 years ago. I think I was like around 10, though.
Right, you must have been a kid.
Youngest player on the Blackhawks.
Yeah,
10.
Yeah, not 35 years ago, though. Unfortunately.
So the date, Grant, it's February 3rd, 1982. Oh, we're doing fine.
Fantastic.
We're doing great.
But we want to share in your moment of what you were doing 35 years ago, and then we can catch up.
It's February 3rd, 1982, and the Blackhawks are playing the St. Louis Blues. It's a day just like any other day, except that it isn't, because?
Because I broke a stick in warm-up.
Yes.
And that never happened.
That's it, exactly. I guarantee you, Grant, if that happened prior to the game, you would have broken a stick in warm-up for the rest of your career every time there was a warm-up.
Exactly. it was a pretty special night. We had not been playing well, and so we were revved up for St. Louis, a big rivalry that we had. And, the first shift of the game, I actually went out, and a pass came to me, and it was a shot from the blue line that I had, and it hit the crossbar mm-hmm. and went straight into the press box mm-hmm. in the old stadium. And I thought, oh, no, not another game like this, mm-hmm. And the next shot, and, they all went in, and it was just I had just great line mates, Terry Ruskowski and Reggie Kerr. They were feeding me from all ends. I think Bob Pulford, he was coaching, and Pulley put me out actually on a penalty kill that day, and I never killed a penalty in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And everything was just going right. And the first period, I had 4 goals and 1 assist.
Oh.
And the second period, I thought I would kind of move it around a little bit, and I got in a fight and had 7 minutes in penalties, which Tony Esposito said I was the dumbest guy on the planet because I had a good first period going, and then in the third period I scored 1-1. So it was a pretty special game and a pretty special day in my life. And as a Blackhawk, I was just so proud to be a Blackhawk. But, that is my kind of my legacy, and it's something wonderful to be remembered by and certainly remember.
And that record still stands.
Yeah, yeah. I keep telling Patrick Kane that if he gets five goals, he's got to get in a fight, though.
Right.
And, but yeah, it still stands. And hard to believe, you know, with all of the great players, Jeremy Roenick and Dennis Savard and Al Secord and everybody that came by. And funny story with Al Secord, Al scored four goals in one period, in the first period, one game. And I was in the stands. I just retired and I was down there watching the game, and Al scored four goals in one period, and he didn't come out in the second period. And I thought, oh, man, what's wrong with him? So I went down there right away, down to the dressing room. The dressing room was below the ice surface. And I said, what's happened? What are you doing? And he goes, I didn't want to break your record because that's the only thing that you're going to stand on for the rest of your life.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice.
I'm glad he's such a good friend of mine.
Right. That's beautiful. Grant, what do you think it is? You played hundreds and hundreds of games in your NHL career, and look at all the other guys that have donned the Blackhawk jersey over the years, and no one else has done it. So what is it? It's got to be a weird mix of luck and skill and just everything else all at once, right?
Well, you know, as I said, I broke a stick, and I used a stick that was like a telephone post. It never broke.
Yeah.
It just didn't break. And all of a sudden, I take a shot, and my stick broke. And I, in warm up, and so I get another stick, and I go over, and I always took one shot on Tony Esposito. That was a game shot. Tony was ready, I was ready, and I took my last shot in warm up, and I always shot at the low, and he was able to use his feet. And this shot somehow got away from me, and I hit him in the shoulder, and he was so mad at me. And I just said, what is wrong here? And nothing seemed to go right in warm-up. And then all of a sudden the game, and it was just a special day, and I can't tell you, it's very much luck. And as I have often said, Bill and Wendy, there's no way I was that good to score five goals on every game. But
Grant, they always say in the theater, there's a tradition. They always say if dress rehearsal goes poorly, the show is going to be great. And you kind of had that on the rink there.
Oh, dress rehearsal was horrible. I tried to definitely. Have dress rehearsals go poorly after that.
Sure.
But then the games all went poorly also.
Oh, that's not good.
No. But it was all, you know, it was just a crazy day from start to finish. And I don't know what all the planets were aligned or something, because it certainly was a special day.
We need to have a Grant Mulvey bobblehead.
Has there been one, please. Grant? Did they ever do one?
Yeah, my own head.
Oh, no. I collect all of them. They're all displayed in our family room while we watch
Wendy.
What?
You and I, we have to do a road trip. I heard this just the other day that there was it on the Cochrane show that they had a bobblehead museum in Milwaukee?
You've been there, Bill?
I've never been there, but I know there's a bobblehead museum, yeah.
Let's go.
Hey, road trip. There's a bobblehead, but no, they didn't make any bobblehead. My head was on a bobble anyways. It was, they didn't need a statue for it, but
we have to start a campaign to get the Grant Mulvey, the granny bobblehead. Come on, he holds the record at the Blackhawks.
How is it possible with that record that you don't have a bobblehead? You need one.
With a broken stick.
Yeah. Right. You know what? I think that'll be something that I'll go to my grave without a bobblehead. And then you guys could, hey, just think, though. You could make a bobblehead when I go to my grave and serve Bona B.
It all ties in.
Wait, Bill is outliving both of us? This is not right or fair.
That's how it happens, Wendy.
He's so healthy.
That's it.
And, that's it. You know,
Grant, be honest, though. When, Be honest with us for just a second. When you heard, and you knew this was coming up, it's the 35th anniversary today. 35 years ago is when you had the five goals. That's almost inconceivable, isn't it, that that could have been 35 years ago? It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense. You know, Bill, my son was just born, and there was a sports announcer that was legendary here in Chicago, Johnny Mora.
Sure.
Yes.
Bless his soul. He was a great man and a great sports announcer. And I said to Johnny after the game, I said, Johnny, you know, at least my son, which my daughter hadn't even been born yet, mm-hmm. I said, at least my son will grow up knowing that his dad did play for the Blackhawks because it was a special night. And you know, it's hard to believe 35 years have passed. And, you know, it's so special to see what's going on at the Blackhawks and for the last 10 years. But 35 years just goes by so quickly. And I'm blessed to have grandchildren now that my 4-year-old grandson is skating, and we talk about skating and playing hockey. And so it's really a lifetime, you know, and 35 years. I can't imagine. I certainly didn't imagine back then that I would be standing here 35 years from then talking to Bill and Wendy about Bona Beef and some guy scoring five goals.
It's pretty amazing. Grant, I also want to wish well to Chef Hans, who had a knee replacement. And if it wasn't for Chef Hans introducing Grant and me, Bill, you would not have a new best friend
right
now.
That's so true. That's very true.
Yeah, and just a shout-out, absolutely, Chef Hans he's under, like, his whole leg is laid up. He really had a bad knee, but one of his dearest friends and a dear friend of all of ours here in Chicago was Chef Luigi, and unfortunately, Chef Luigi passed away this week. And
I did not know
Italy.
That. Oh.
Yeah, in Italy, and Chef Luigi was such a giving heart, and just like Chef Hans, and that's what makes Chicago so great is people like yourselves, and just people that think of each other and think of how I can make this world a little better place is Chef Hans and certainly Chef Luigi.
I'm sorry to hear that. My prayers go out to his family. He was a great guy. He really was.
Yeah, Chef Luigi was a special man, but unfortunately he passed away in Italy with his family, so everything was okay that way, but
sure.
He was way too young.
Grant, we love talking to you. We love you. It's hard to believe it's been 35 years since the five-goal game, but it does stand, and I think it'll stand for a lot longer. Just one of those nights where everything you touched went in the net, and you deserve it. The best of luck. We'll talk again soon, okay?
Yeah, thank you, Bill. Thank you, Wendy. And, Wendy, make sure on the next time that you have bone and beef ready for us, okay? Bill and I are hungry.
Right we're starving.
I'll set you up.
Thank you, Grant.
Thanks,
Happy
Grant.
Anniversary.
Congrats.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
The great Grant Mulvey.
And the nicest guy ever.
In history. They don't make him any nicer. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we have a lot more show for you. Stay here. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Bill Leff, and it's Wendy Snyder. We're easy to reach, you know, 312-981-7200. What can we do for you?
Oh, it's now that's what we're doing?
Yeah,
Lindsay,
we're helping people.
Lindsay has called us. Hi, how are you, Lindsay?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good.
Really
what's
good.
Up?
Good. I was listening to your caller earlier about the T-shirt and taking it on a road trip.
Yeah.
And ironically, I'm going to Ecuador next week.
Oh.
And I thought, how funny would it be to have the Wendy and Bill T-shirt and take a picture in Ecuador?
All right. Well, I'm fine with giving you one, but I don't want you to be disappointed. There is no Bill involved. Bill went behind everyone's back, hooked up with Mark Doyle from Rags of Honor and David Hochberg from Pearl Mortgage.
Yeah.
And they put together this T-shirt that usually the saying is payback is a female dog.
Yes.
But instead, wait, that doesn't sound good.
Now instead it says, it's a Wendy.
Yeah. And now it's payback is a Wendy. And it's a terrible picture of myself on it. So Bill is not involved if you still want the shirt.
I'm not in it. You could draw me in with a marker if you want, but I'm not on the shirt.
That's fine, because what am I supposed to say? I like Wendy better anyway.
No,
yeah, you are supposed
you
to say that.
You don't have to say that. There's no reason to lie. To just get a shirt.
Oh, no, it's not a lie about getting a shirt.
When are you leaving for Ecuador?
Next Friday.
Everyone's leaving town Friday, Wendy. I think we can probably get, is there any reason we couldn't? Why not?
We can do it.
Yeah. Lindsay, what size do you wear? Because they're all extra large.
I guess I wear an extra large.
Yeah, perfect. We have that.
We'll take some pictures of you in Ecuador. Do you remember our caller?
Yeah.
What was his name?
I do.
Ruben.
And that's the whole point. I can't that's the whole point about it. I was like, how funny.
Ruben listens to us.
Shirt.
You should bring a spare in case you run into Ruben.
Bring a second one and find him and give him the shirt.
I bet we could arrange it.
Yeah, Ecuador's a small town. You'll see him at some point.
But I think we have his number.
All right. Let's do that.
All right. Well, Lindsay, thank you. Thank you.
Have a safe trip.
You're the best.
All right.
Thank you. Thanks for your interest in me.
How about that? Isn't that nice?
No. You could have picked a better picture.
No, this is better. It's believe me, it's more enchanting.
It's one better.
It is exactly one better. We'll take a quick break. Steve has some news and then a lot more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you, Steve. Birthday boy. Happy sweet birthday to you, my friend.
Thank you very much.
It's Bill. It's Wendy.
He asked that we mention it more often, by the way. Steve said, please mention my birthday more often.
Absolutely untrue.
I feel funny if I don't mention it now that we know. I didn't get you anything, neither did Bill.
I don't want anything.
Well, you're good, because that works out nicely.
Just your friendship and your camaraderie and, just a few hours with you, and then I can leave at the end of the day. All right. That's all I want.
That's fair.
That was easy enough then.
Yeah, easy
we didn't
to
even
shop
have
for.
To wrap it.
It was a perfect gift. Thank you.
All right. Well, when you want to find out what's happening around town in the world of live music or maybe live shows, you can't rely on Bill and me.
No.
Because we are completely unplugged.
Right.
But someone who's plugged in to everything, front row Phyllis is with us again. Hello.
Hi. How
Welcome
are you?
Welcome back, Phyllis.
Thank you.
We're looking at this list. You think February, that's probably going to be a down month in Chicago.
No.
Wall-to-wall stuff.
Why would you think it would be a down month?
It's such a short month, Wendy. If you look at the calendar, it's your shortest of all months. So
but
by volume.
With excitement.
You would
right.
think just by volume, no. Yep. But yes, it is packed. What
it's
should we know
It's also Valentine's.
About?
You know, so what's interesting is this year, because Valentine's Day falls on a Tuesday, it's now a whole weekend. So it's kind of like a wedding, right?
Yeah.
So it's now going all next weekend into Valentine's. So there's a lot of stuff going on, including starting with tonight over if you want a little country. This is actually part of the CMT's Next Women of Country tour. It's called the Love Unleashed. And, of course, the beautiful Martina McBride will be here along with Lauren Elena over at the Chicago Theater. And
we're going to play a little snippet, if you will.
I love that.
I like Martina McBride.
I do too.
I'm a little bit country. I got to admit, I didn't think I was, but I am a little bit country.
I think we could sway you over to the country side.
Do it, Wendy. Do it.
Come on.
Do
I'll
it.
Bring a hat next time. That's it. So, you know what's so great is that, you know, Martina gives 100% and she really wants her fans to walk away with just this positive energy. And she really puts that into her shows.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Lauren Elena, if you remember, she actually was a runner up in 10th season of American Idol. So she's going to be joining her. Yep.
All right. That's going on tonight, correct?
Yes,
Chicago Theater?
Tonight. And then tomorrow evening over at the Lyric Opera, it is called Chicago Voices Concert. I don't know if you heard about this. It's actually the biggest night in Chicago music history. And because they salute legendary artists from all genres. So you're going to have people such as Renee Fleming, as well as the Hanson family, Jesse Mueller, John Prine, Michelle Williams, and plenty more. So it's a great show to check out over at the Lyric Opera.
John Prine.
Steve Cochran had on a woman from the show this morning.
Oh, I heard her.
Her voice was
She was amazing.
Unbelievable,
so
right?
Good. And she said, in addition to singing opera songs, she also sings, as I say this, I'm looking at you like, that's impossible. She sings opera songs, but she also sings the music of Björk.
Oh, I heard that.
Isn't that?
Or Björk, as a lot of people say, but Bill is a connoisseur.
I speak Icelandic, Phyllis, so a lot of times it creeps into my regular conversation. But
I thought it was a joke.
No, I did too. She was saying, like, that would be funny. But she wasn't kidding. She really does. That's I would love to hear that.
Well, then you got to go check it out.
The music of the ice cubes coming in operatic fashion. I want that.
Sugar cubes.
Sugar cubes. Where are the ice cubes?
you were hip for one second.
I was so close. So close. All right, so that's tomorrow night.
That is tomorrow night.
At the Lyric Opera.
And then running now through February 12th, so something to do for Valentine's, is The Bodyguard Live, so over at the Oriental Theater. And, of course, we all remember that wonderful, breathtaking, you know, romantic thriller with, you
Whitney
know.
Whitney Houston. Yeah,
Kevin Costner.
I know.
That's
They're
a
not
show?
Going to be there.
No.
It is. But it's going to be live. And actually, the beautiful R&B sensation, Deborah Cox, plays Whitney Houston. Big shoes to fill, but she does an amazing job. And the rest of the cast. So that actually just runs now through February 12th.
So get on it.
Yeah, you definitely want to get on it. So, Wendy, if you want some more country, I got some more country for you.
All right, talk to me.
More
okay.
country.
Front row, Phyllis.
Okay, we got February 9th over at Joe's Live, and then on February 10th over at Joe's on Weed, and that is Dan and Shay are going to be in town. Do you know about these guys?
I am so unhip.
Well,
I
now we're going to take you with me. That's it. They are so great. They're actually one of country's biggest and best duos.
Mm-hmm.
They met about 4 years ago in Nashville. And the next day, they were already writing music together. And some of their music has been with, you know, Rascal Flatts. They've opened for Blake Shelton as well as Hunter Hayes. Well, now in 4 years, they're actually doing their own shows, headlining and selling out all the shows.
That's
so,
amazing.
Dan and
yeah.
Shay.
And, Dan
and they're from
and
what
Shay.
Part? Where are they from? Do we know?
Nashville.
Where? Nashville. Both
yep.
of them are? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
It's Dan Smyers and Shay Mooney.
All right, Dan and Shay. Look
yep.
for them. Ask for them by name.
Ask for them by name. And then we also have something for the whole family and the kids. And everybody wants this. February 11th and the 12th. That's over at the Chicago Theater. It is called, of course, Paw Patrol Live. And what's so wonderful is they really cater to the family. So there's a late morning show. There's afternoon as well as, you know, early evening performances. It runs 1 hour and 15 minutes plus a 15-minute intermission.
For the kids, you need a break.
What is Paw Patrol? It's dogs of some sort doing something.
Is it a show?
It is. It's actually based on the very popular children's TV series that's running right now. So if you have little ones, they're asking and begging to go see the show because it's been on the docket for about a year.
Yeah.
And this one is all about the race to the rescue. So you get a chance to see the couple mares that are pups. They're racing, and then one of the mares is missing. So the rest is, you know, you got to see the show.
Is there a pup that is like a fireman or a fire truck or something? I was just talking to somebody about this, and they said, oh, Paw Patrol. Like, I was supposed to know what it is. I said, my kids are teenagers now,
right.
So I'm beyond this. But this is like kind of the Blue's Clues and the Teletubbies of the kids now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh,
what,
yeah.
Do we know what network runs the show? Is that something you know?
You know what? I don't know what network runs
Animal
it.
Planet?
Is it Animal Planet?
No. Yeah. I don't think so.
All right.
So we also have a Valentine show that we were talking about, and that is next weekend on February 10th, and it's over at the Star Plaza in Merrillville, and it's called Valentine's Love Jam. And who else to bring it to you? But Tyrese is going to be here, and of course he's, see, there you go.
This is sexy.
That's sultry.
Yeah.
It's sultry and it's sexy.
It's sexy, sultry.
It's like Dan and Shay and Paw Patrol all rolled into one.
If that they were to be sexing it up.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you have Tyrese, you have Eric Benet, and of course, Eric Benet, talk about sexy.
That's the actor from, was he on Grey's Anatomy? Is that the same? Is that Eric Benet or is he a singer?
He's a singer, and he was the one that was married to, remember, he was married to Haley, you know who I'm talking about.
Haley Joel Osment?
No.
No, Wendy, that would be a weird marriage.
Yeah. No, and now he's
married. Sixth Sense? No.
Haley.
I see country people.
The singer, but I can't think of it. We'll think of it. We'll
Haley.
Actually
somebody named Haley.
And
I'm looking at Kevin because he's way more plugged in than
us. Yeah, he's going to tell us.
Kevin, Google, see who Eric Benet was married to.
And then now he's married to Prince's ex-wife.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and his new album that just came out.
Halle Berry.
Oh,
that's the guy.
I
know who that is.
Oh, my God. Who cares? No, I'm kidding.
I know who that is now.
Oh, I totally know who that is, but he wasn't on the show you said.
There's some actor whose last name is Benet who was on a medical show, and I'm getting them mixed up. That's why, Phyllis, is why I'm not allowed to leave the house after the show's over, because I go to the wrong place. I don't know who I'm going to see.
So, and then Drew Hill's going to be with them as well that evening.
All right. So Tyrese, Eric Benet, Drew Hill, all at the Star Plaza. Is the Star Plaza closing? Did I read that they were closing?
You know, they were going to be renovating, so now they're not closing. Okay. I think that they were just kind of cleaning it up. Yeah. And then we have another show on February 11th.
Wait, don't say it yet.
Okay.
This will be a tease for what's coming up. More shows ahead with Front Row Phyllis. FrontRowPhyllis.com is the website you can visit to find out what's in town and who played who on what show and who used to be married to Halle Berry. That's my one stop for that. Stick around. More ahead. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Front Row Phyllis is here. She knows what shows are coming to town and what you should see and what you should ignore. I was confused about Eric Benet. He is, as we pointed out, the former husband of Halle Berry, but I was confusing him with somebody from Grey's Anatomy, and I looked it up, and it's Katherine Heigl.
Oh, good. We're all clear now.
Yeah.
That's good.
I got confused.
All right. Front Row Phyllis is here, and you can go to frontrowphyllis.com if you've missed any of the things we were talking about, including Dan and Shay.
Yeah.
I forgot to bring that up.
They're coming.
So we left off on February 10th with this Valentine's Day love jam, but then Feb 11th, something exciting is going down.
Something exciting over at the Star Plaza also, and that is Dennis DeYoung and the Music of Styx.
Very nice.
Yeah, right?
He puts on, I've seen him several times, he puts on an incredible show.
He does.
He really is a master showman.
He is amazing, and I can assure you, you're going to hear some of your favorites, Come Sail Away, Babe, right?
Yeah, that's the first one I think of. That was my high school years.
Yeah.
Was, you know, Come Sail Away, the Grand Illusion record.
Yes.
God, we played it nonstop.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's going to be a great show, and on February 11th, a little bit of Valentine's. Also, on Valentine's Day, it's actually a great comedy show.
This is right up your alley, Bill.
Yeah, I'll go see. Who's playing?
You will like this. This is over at UIC Pavilion, and it is Mike Epps, Bruce, Tony Rock, and Felipe Esparza. If you remember him, he actually won in 2010 Last Comic Standing.
Oh, he did? Yeah.
Yeah, he was the winner. And the rest of the guys, I mean, they're just so funny and so great and something different to do for Valentine's evening.
And I am a big fan of the UIC Pavilion. I saw Arcade Fire there with the National. And honestly, I had never been there before. It is a great venue.
It's a great venue.
It really is.
It really is. Yeah, and easy access, and it really is a great venue. And then the last one, I don't know if you heard about this, is big news. Jimmy Buffett will be in town.
With special guests.
Of course, he's going to be with the Coral Reefer Band and Huey Lewis and the News. But the biggest news of all, it's on July 15th. He's actually going to be performing at Wrigley Field.
Wasn't he
the first?
He was, wasn't he? He was the first one to start that in the modern era.
Yes.
Right?
So he actually did two shows in 2005. And he hasn't played at Wrigley since, but last year he actually said that they asked him, would you ever play at Wrigley? And he goes, when the Cubs win, I will play at Wrigley. And that's why he's playing. So he's down for one show right now, but I have a feeling that they're going to actually do two shows.
Don't they always add a show? Like, Parrotheads start freaking out. They buy the tickets, and then there's sometimes a third show added, too.
Yeah, yeah. But I think for sure it's going to be second show added. Tickets go on sale next Friday on February 10th at 10 a.m.
But be ready, because they do sometimes sell out very, very quickly. So be prepared. I don't know if you know the complete list, but Wrigley has been doing more and more concerts over the last few summers. I know Billy Joel is going to be there, and like you said, Jimmy Buffett. But do we know who else will be at Wrigley over the spring and summer?
You know, we have a list on our website. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Grateful Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's right, because Wendy's going to be going, Dead and Company.
I forgot about that. Jim's making me go with him.
Look at the excitement on Wendy's face, Phyllis. Can you see, I'm actually
going to give her a bigger surprise, is John Mayer's going to be here alone in April.
See, that guy, I have made fun of his lips in the past because he has fish lips.
Yeah,
I'll say that right there.
You said that out loud.
But that guy is as kind of poppy as he was when we first were introduced to him. He is an excellent guitarist and a fine musician.
Oh, yeah. He's an incredible talent.
He really took
a little time off, I think, to find himself.
Right.
And, I mean, I really do. And
well, he wanted
now
to run through the halls of his high school and scream at the top of his lungs, remember?
Okay.
That's what he wanted to do.
What song is that from?
All of them. I think that lyric is in all of his songs. And you have to be careful if you're a Hollywood starlet, because you will fall in love with John Mayer. There's something going on with Hollywood starlets.
It's the lips.
Is it the lips? Is that what it is?
It's the big, pillowy, cushiony lips. Yeah. They're lovely to kiss.
I guess that has to be it, because they just fall over each other to get to him.
They do. Yeah. They do. But it never lasts.
No, what's wrong with that, Phyllis?
The lips.
It's enchanting for a little while, and then you get sick of them. You go, I'm dating the magic sign.
There can't be two stars. Remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, two egos doesn't it doesn't work in the same room.
That's a good point. You know, you mentioned that. When do Jimmy Buffett tickets go on sale with Huey Lewis in the News?
They actually go on sale next Friday at 10 a.m.
All right, here's something I have to ask you, because I know the answer for Bill and for myself. I can't think of the last time I have ordered tickets on the day they came out to get fantastic seats.
Right.
I remember years ago, like maybe going to see the Go-Go's at Poplar Creek, and I would have to go to the Ticketmaster location at Carson Peary Scott.
Right. Right.
And it's like, oh, we wanted to get 10 tickets so all of us can go. Bill, when is the last time? And you keep whining about Billy Joel. Yeah. Get tickets and go see him.
I know. I've seen him twice, and I love him.
But at Wrigley. Yeah.
I love him. I've never seen him at Wrigley.
I love him.
I've seen him twice at Rosemont.
I love him.
I love that man. I love that man. He left a note on my door that said, Sonny, move out to the country. And I almost did. And then it was a prank.
That
as it
was
turned
it.
Out. I thought it was real. Why wouldn't you see? I mean, it's
but
a
But pull
great...
the trigger. When's the last time? I know a lot
it's
of
been
times.
A long time.
I've been in radio 30 years. You've been in a long time as well, Bill. Yeah. So a lot of times you can get tickets through a radio station.
Sure. Yeah.
Not as easily as it used to be, though, I will add.
No, it's
I'm
not.
I'm trying to win them on another station, Phyllis. Was
oh, okay.
That weird?
Well, come to our website. You can win
them. Yeah,
that
there's
way.
A way to do
Lance
it.
Lance and Stoli are giving them away.
Yeah, they're giving away. Would that be weird if I won them from them?
Yes.
I don't think it would be.
All right, so Phyllis, what is something, and obviously you're front row, Phyllis, so you do get tickets when you want it, but what is like the one show that you're like, I got to get these tickets before I sneeze?
Before Wendy sneezes.
Yeah, that's
God, I sounded like Frosty the Snowman.
That's the barometer.
For a minute.
You know, is there really, one of these coming up
you
for
you? You know what? There's so much going on, and it always kicks in for spring and summer, and then you throw in the festivals.
I love the fests.
I mean, we just listed the Windy City Lake Shake that we do, and that's a great country festival. You have so much. Lala. You know, there's so much going on. So I think it's really... whatever you want to say.
That makes sense.
You know what I mean?
But shouldn't you give priority? This will sound terrible. I don't mean it to sound terrible. Shouldn't you give priority to the older performers? Because you say to yourself, I wonder how many times Paul McCartney will...
You are morbid.
I'm not trying to be morbid, but you say to yourself, I don't know that Paul McCartney will be swinging through town a half a dozen or 20 more times.
Again.
I should probably jump on my chance to see somebody like that, right?
Well, I think
with the icons.
I definitely think the icons, the legends, seeing some of the incredible plays.
Yes.
Because you don't know how long they're going to be here. So, yeah, definitely. But I really think that, you know, ticket prices are ticket prices. So they're not inexpensive.
Right.
So, you know, if you have a budget, I would definitely narrow it down and pick something that you really want to see. One or two shows, you know.
I may have to go see Tom Petty. He's another one coming to Wrigley.
Yes.
That would be worth
love
it.
Tom. I've seen him before. Amazing. He pulls out a bunch of old tunes from the 60s and like early 60s.
Yeah.
And really a fantastic band. That would be one I would
be willing to go to.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't like people, though. If I could get him to just perform
in
my backyard.
Will you do a private show just for Wendy? Is there a chance of that?
Absolutely. We could get him here, maybe.
All right.
What do you think?
That would be pretty good.
But see, here's the thing is I kind of look like him if I'm not wearing makeup. I'm a cross between Tom Petty and James Spader.
Right. It would confuse him.
You would think he was looking in a mirror.
Yeah, a funhouse mirror.
Were you thinking of Eric LaSalle, by the way?
Probably.
We were talking about Eric Benet. Is that who
we
were talking
about? Oh, it is. It's Eric LaSalle. That's the doctor from the TV.
The listeners know you
Everybody knew you better than you know yourself.
Listeners,
I appreciate that. I'm going to see Eric LaSalle when he performs here in town.
Oh, good.
Phyllis, so it's always so much fun to have you by. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's the busy season. Go see every show that Phyllis just mentioned. You get a 1% discount if you see every show.
Exactly.
And your reviews are on frontrowphyllis.com as well.
Yeah, all the shows are listed on frontrowphyllis.com.
Thanks a ton.
Thank you.
Back after this, it's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Who wants to go to the auto show?
Everybody wants to go to the auto show. This is one of the biggest shows in Chicago.
Well, we have a 4-pack of tickets to the Chicago Auto Show, courtesy of Fifth Third Bank. The Chicago Auto Show runs from Feb 11th through February 20th. You can also register online to win a Navy Pier VIP experience this year, sponsored by Fifth Third Bank. Go to WGNradio.com/Fifth Third to enter to win today before February 19th. That's your deadline. Now, the calls are coming in like crazy.
Yeah.
And we're not just doing a random number at 312-981-7200. They're going to have to work a little harder for this 4-pack of tickets.
So true, Wendy. This is, the ultimate collaborative effort. We came up with an idea for a game. Now, you came up with the answers. I came up with the questions. We don't have a name for the game. Now, I'll describe a little bit of what the game is before you get all excited. Because it's the car show, the auto show, you thought of this, and I love this. All the answers in today's game are celebrities that have the word car somewhere in their name.
All right.
Right? So you came up, you wrote out a beautiful list of possible answers. During the lunch break, I then came up with a bunch of questions. The only one so far that hasn't helped us, and it's because we haven't asked him to, is Kevin. Kevin, we don't have a name for this game.
Right, yeah.
And again, it's based on celebrities that have car.
Car, okay.
Someone in their name. What should
to
we call it?
To coincide with the auto show.
Okay.
Connection.
Just pulling out, how about Johnny Karsh?
What is it?
Johnny Karsh.
Like Johnny Cash. It's a play on words.
It's a bad play on words.
Well, I'm just coming up with something here.
How about Johnny Carson?
No,
that's
dumb.
I'm
not sure that would work either.
No?
Yeah. How about, wait.
You got another one.
I got to do a voice for this one.
Steve, be careful, by the way.
What incarnation?
What incarnation?
Yeah.
Based on the what incarnation.
Yeah, right. Yosemite Sam.
That's not bad.
It's better.
It's much better. All right. And then
okay.
The third one. I like that one.
I kind of like
it. I don't love it.
I just probably put everything on that one. I just thought you guys would go with that.
It's usable if it's
Carmageddon.
I like that.
That has a very immediate sound to it. All right. Let's go with Carmageddon.
Really? Okay. Not like Johnny Karsh?
Johnny Karsh.
No.
Okay.
No. No.
You're karshing my mellow.
All right, so the name of the game is Carmageddon.
I like that.
I like
the
it
The more
too.
You say it, it really is perfect.
Sounds dangerous, right?
Well, it sounds like a game.
Sounds like a game. We need two contestants at 312-981-7200. We will pick two numbers at random, and you will, in fact, be a contestant up for a 4-pack of tickets.
How about, since it's Fifth Third Bank bringing us the 4-pack of tickets, let's go third and fifth.
That makes sense.
Or fifth and third.
All right. Call right now. We will meet you so that the audience at home can decide which one of you they don't want to win.
312-981-7200. Should we take a break so Kevin, he worked really hard with the Johnny Karsh.
I don't think he worked that hard on that. I'll be honest.
Carmageddon? That's pretty good.
Carmageddon works for me. I like it. This two out of the three were pretty good names.
One.
Why don't we
really
meet
good.
The contestants
okay.
and let them think about what they've done during the commercial break, and then we'll play the game.
All right. Let's do that. As soon as Kevin gets them loaded, we will meet our contestants for Carmageddon. We have... Hi, Carol.
Hi.
Carol, congratulations. You're one of the two contestants on Carmageddon, a game where all the answers are celebrities with the word car in them. Just, Carol, if you wouldn't mind, a fact or two about yourself so people can root for you.
Tomorrow is my old-time 65th birthday.
Oh, congratulations. That's fantastic.
Well, thank you.
That's great.
Wow.
And I'm retired a year.
From
and,
what? What were you doing before you retired?
National account manager that's for electrical distributor.
Oh, that's very impressive.
I don't even know what that means.
Still impressive, Wendy.
And I volunteer for hospice.
Oh, you win.
I kind of want to give it to her.
I think she wins.
Where are you calling from, Carol?
Aurora, Illinois.
All right. Well, let's meet your contestant who no one's going to want to win now. Oddly enough, this is Jake. And Jake, really, where are you from?
From Joliet.
Joliet, Jake.
I kind of want him
cool.
to win now.
That's cool. Jake, our last contestant, Carol, manages hospice care. Can you beat that?
Well, I work for a car manufacturer.
Oh, well, that you have kind of an in with this game,
yeah.
I would think.
But it doesn't relate to cars. It's celebrities with car in their name.
Still, I think this background could help him.
All
I
right.
really do. I really do.
Well, can you guys hang on? We're going to take a quick commercial break. Then we're going to come back, and you are up for a 4-pack of tickets to the Chicago Auto Show, courtesy of Fifth Third Bank. You can also register online to win a Navy Pier VIP experience this year. This all sponsored by Fifth Third Bank. Go to WGNradio.com/Fifth Third to enter to win today before February 19th. Quick break, and we'll come back and put, what is it called again?
Carmageddon. Stick around. Carmageddon is next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Are we ready to play Carmageddon?
I can't wait to play Carmageddon. We have two fantastic opponents ready to square off to see who wins a great prize, and it has to do with the Chicago Auto Show, Wendy. It's a very exciting gift package.
All right, one of our contestants, Carol from Aurora. How are you, Carol?
Hey, I'm doing great. How about you?
We're fantastic. Oh, I just hung up on you.
Happy birthday, Carol. Carol celebrating her 65th birthday. Is she still there, or did you hang up on her?
Oh, I do? Carol?
Yes.
All right. Oh, okay.
All right. Now, I want... Oh, this is...
Conference.
Okay, so I can just bring Joliet Jake up then. All right, Jake, you're there too?
I'm here.
Oh, good. All done.
Jake, Carol, as we mentioned, you'll be squaring off. The winner will get a 4-pack to the Chicago Auto Show at McCormick Place. For those of you just tuning in, Carol works in the hospice industry, 65 years old, hails from Aurora. Jake in the car business, he's from Joliet. We're not making that up. He is Joliet Jake. Here's how the game works, everybody. There are 10 questions in Carmageddon. Each of the answers is a celebrity who has the word car somewhere in their name. It could be in their first name. It could be in their middle name. It could be in their last name. But these celebrities all share the fact that they have the word car somewhere in their name. After I read the clue, it'll be up to you, Carol and Jake, to use your buzzer, use your name as your buzzer, and shout out either Carol or Jake. Let's just test those buzzers really quickly, Carol. Let's hear yours.
Carol.
Yeah, excellent. And Jake?
Jake.
Yep, that's working. All right, so the fastest buzzer wins. Wendy is the judge.
And the most enthusiastic buzzer wins, too. Come on, Jake.
You have to. Now, just so you know, question number one is worth 100 points. Question two, 200 points, and all the way down till we get to 1,000. So if you're in a little bit of a rut and you're not getting any correct, don't worry. The dollar values do increase as we go down the line. Carol, Jake, are there any questions on the rules to Carmageddon? Anything that I didn't cover?
Nope.
Everything's in place, Jake, let's for you too. What, Jake?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Everybody's ready. Here goes. Carmageddon, the winner gets 4 tickets to the Chicago Auto Show. All of these, again, celebrities with the word car somewhere in their name. Question one is worth 100 points. Good luck to both of you. This Nebraska native started out as a magician.
Carol? Johnny Carson.
Is absolutely right, Carol. You lead 100-0. And Steve Bertrand gets a point for that, too.
Yeah, exactly.
I had no idea.
Answering it earlier. Yeah. All right. Question number two. Carol, our leader, 100 to Jake, 0. But we're only on question two, worth 200 points. You're so vain, you probably think this song that she sang is about you. Don't you? Don't you? Don't you?
Carol.
Carol.
Carly Simon.
Carly Simon is correct. Carol, you now lead with 300 points. Jake, not yet on the
board.
Jake,
where were you?
I'm in trouble.
No, you're not in trouble. It's just, we're 2 questions in. There's plenty of rebound time for you. There's plenty of rebound time. All right, question three is worth 300 points. Jake, you get this one right. All of a sudden, the score is tied. Carol, you get this one right. Jake starts to worry just a little bit more. Question three, 300 points. Considered to be one of the top stand-up comedians of all time, his most popular bit was the 7 words you can't say on television.
Carol.
Carol.
What's his name? Carlin.
Is somebody helping?
Who's helping you,
it
Carol?
It sounded like somebody was helping you.
My little hubby.
Wait, I can't. I don't think we can legally accept it. I did hear somebody shouting out an answer. Jake, what is your answer?
George Carlin.
George Carlin is correct. We are tied at 300 apiece. Carol has 300. Jake has 300. And I'm going to have to ask your little husband to leave the room.
Okay.
I never
or be more quiet when he's telling you.
Well, we're in the car, so that could be dangerous.
Oh, no, don't leave the then do not leave the room. Carol's husband,
push
stay
him
in the
out.
Room. Say hello to my little husband. It's 300 points for Carol and her husband. Okay. It's 300 for Jake. Question four is worth 400. One of you will have a commanding lead. Here is question four. This British actress was for a while married to Burt Reynolds and was Rona Martin Laffin's Sock It To Me girl.
Carol.
Carol.
Julie Carney.
Final answer?
Carney.
Carney is incorrect. Jake, I'll read you the question one more time. You each have 300 points. You don't have to answer, but you can take a try, a free try. This British actress,
Judy
Carn, is absolutely right. Jake, all of a sudden, in the lead, you have 700 to Carol and her little husband's 300.
Don't say little husband.
I don't know him well enough to say that. It's time for question five, which is worth 500 points. Again, Jake at 700, Carol at 300. Question five is worth 500. Here goes. An Academy Award winner for his work in Harry and Tonto, he's best known as Ralph Crandon's neighbor, Ed Norton.
Come on!
That's the spirit.
Jake.
I heard Carol.
Carol was first.
Art Carney.
Art Carney is absolutely right.
Is that what your husband said?
I said it. He's got his mouth shut.
All right. Carol, you lead. You have a very slim lead. We're halfway through. You have 800. Jake has 700. It's anybody's game. We go to question six worth 600 points. Here goes. His most famous SNL characters included Garth Algar, President George Bush, and the Church Lady. Isn't that special?
Jake.
Jake?
Dana Carvey.
Dana Carvey, absolutely right. You now have 1,300. Carol, a close second at 800. There are four questions left. Again, anybody's game. Question seven, worth 700 points, a commanding lead to one of you. This pie-loving cartoon character is always upset to learn that they've killed Kenny at the end of most South Park episodes.
Jake.
Jake?
Cartman. Cartman.
Judges? We okay?
Yeah. You don't know his first name?
No answer option.
You don't know his first name?
The first name of Cartman?
I think we can just accept Cartman on that. I think we're okay with that.
He goes by Cartman.
He does just go by Cartman. It is
true.
Eric Cartman for legal reasons. But right now, Jake, you have a 2,000-point lead to Carol's 800. Carol, you're far from out of it, though. You can easily make this up. There are three questions left. Question eight is worth 800 points. Good luck, both of you. One of the 1970s most beautiful television actresses, her character wore bullet-deflecting bracelets and traveled by way of an invisible airplane.
You guys stink.
Wendy! Don't say that.
Wow. I'm kidding.
One more time. One of the 1970s. Jake?
Linda Carter.
Linda Carter is absolutely right. You have
redeemed yourself, Jake.
2,800. Carol, you have to get these right. You're at 800 to Jake's 2,800. Question 9, worth 900 points. Roughly translated, this influential African-American botanist and inventor's three-word name means he who slices the father of our country into pieces. Roughly translated.
Jake?
Jake. Go on, Jake.
George Washington Carver.
Yes, George Washington Carver translated, he who slices the father of our country into pieces.
That's the best question ever.
That is.
It's 37 for Jake. Carol's family trailing with 800 points. The final question for 1,000 is this. This American composer, singer, and band leader who wrote Stardust and Georgia on My Mind had the first name of a sandwich and the last name the same as Lucille Ball's character on The Lucy Show. One more time. This American composer, singer, and band leader who wrote Stardust and Georgia on My Mind had the first name of a sandwich and the last name the same as Lucille Ball's character on The Lucy Show.
Oh, man.
This is a tough one.
Mm.
It doesn't sound like either of them, Wendy. Do you want to take this one?
That would be...
Yeah, I don't know the last name.
Wendy, you can win tickets to the...
Name?
No, I need the complete name on this one.
Time's up.
Yeah, time's up.
Hoagie Carmichael.
Hoagie Carmichael is right.
How many points did I get on that one? Did I just take the lead?
You came in second place, Wendy. You just came in second place. Carol, you did come in second place. We have a lovely parting gift for you, though. Wendy, it is?
Yes. Carol, we are going to set you up with a Sweet Alley's Valentine Treat Box. Everyone can celebrate together with Sweet Alley's gluten-free baked goods. It's located in Hinsdale and Glenview. Sweet Alley's offers a variety of sweet, savory, and special occasion baked goods, including dairy-free and vegan. Visit sweetalleys.com to learn more. If you're not gluten-free, it is so delicious anyway.
Incredible.
So Sweet Allie's Valentine treat box.
Happy 65, Carol. Thanks for playing.
Thank you.
And Jake, you're our big winner. You proved today that you can start out slow and finish fast. It's not where you start, it's where you finish. You finished big, and so you win big.
A four-pack of tickets to the Chicago Auto Show, Joliet, Jake, courtesy of Fifth Third Bank. The Chicago Auto Show runs from February 11th through the 20th. You can also register online to win a Navy Pier VIP experience this year, sponsored by Fifth Third Bank. Go to WGNradio.com/Fifth Third. You can enter to win today. Deadline is February 19th. Congratulations, you guys. You don't stink. I take that back.
Wendy takes it back.
Thank you so much, guys. Love the show.
Thank you so much.
All right, hang on.
All right.
You are so good. Why don't you take Craig Ferguson's job?
I'm American born. You got to be from Scotland. I can't take his job. Bing! All right, here's the game plan, everybody. News coming up in just a little bit. And then after the news, I've never talked to him. Have you ever talked to him?
No.
George Takei, Mr. Sulu from Star Trek, will join us right after the news. Stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Big birthday plans for you tonight, Steve?
I'm going to have dinner, Cooper's Hawk, with some friends.
It's supposed to be really good.
It's very fun. How about you?
Will you have some wine with that wine?
They make their own wine in Illinois.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's one of those. It is a pretty cool story. They ship in wine from all over the U.S. and make it in Illinois, and actually do very well with it. It's judged very highly.
Have they been on the Wintrust Business Lunch yet?
Can you tell? Yeah, they have. How do I know all this?
You're not having dinner at Suzanne Mushin's house, though?
I'm not.
No?
No.
I would have.
She invited me, and I told her I was...
a little sickly?
A little bit.
That's all right. That's right. Well, have a great birthday.
Thank you.
Yesterday, I believe it was yesterday, we were talking about Michael Jackson and Paul McCartney and who exactly had the rights to the Beatles' music. We found out Michael Jackson did purchase them after Paul McCartney said to him, you know, you really should invest in some song catalogs. It would be a good idea. And then a bidding war ensued, and Paul McCartney, I've read various reports. Somebody said that Michael Jackson outbid him. Mm-hmm. Someone else said Paul didn't even bother because you know how much money Michael Jackson had at the time.
Right.
It's like
that he couldn't compete with him.
Yeah, and it seems funny that you'd have to spend millions and millions of dollars on the stuff you wrote. That just doesn't seem fair.
But does this prove my adage, no good deed goes unpunished? Because
maybe.
He was just being a friend to Michael Jackson and said, I'll tell you where the real money is owning the publishing rights to these songs. That's where the money is. And then Michael Jackson bought all of his songs under him.
He said, hey, Ebony. What, Ivory?
Right.
That was a great song. I'm sorry.
Well, you should be.
I liked it. It was cute.
Yeah.
Two icons together.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then we found out that Sony bought the rights to the Beatles music after Michael Jackson passed away.
Yeah,
I don't know if it was after he died, but I know Sony now owns those Beatles songs in question.
Correct.
Well, now Apple Music reportedly has nabbed the rights to the late singer Prince's catalog. That according to Vulture.
I'm trying to think what. So that goes into some sort of a family trust or whoever he names as his benefactors, and it's up to them to decide who will buy the rights. And Sony seems to make sense, I guess.
This is
it?
Apple.
Oh, Apple. I'm sorry. Apple seems to make sense.
Apple Music has partnered with Warner Music Group to make Prince's music more accessible, which just makes me kind of sad because Prince was really against being able to go and find his tunes for free on places.
Didn't they keep pulling Prince songs off of YouTube? Like for almost any musician or band, you can find their work on YouTube pretty easily. But I think Prince or his company monitored that pretty closely. Even after he died, remember there were clips we were looking for on YouTube.
Couldn't find it.
Impossible.
Tidal. Kevin, what's Tidal? That was originally the sole place to stream most of Prince's music.
Tidal is a dying streaming service similar to Spotify.
Okay, well now Vulture is reporting there's a possibility that Spotify could be nearing a similar deal to make Prince's music more accessible. But boy, I mean, I guess you got to move quickly and Prince is no longer around, but it just seems like that was a quick decision.
How does a place like this differ from iTunes? I don't understand the difference. Is it the same or is it different?
One is you have to pay per song or per album. The other one is you pay a fee monthly.
And you get unlimited downloads.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. And do they have full you can get almost anything that's ever been recorded on iTunes, almost. Is that the case with these other services or not?
I think you can get most everything.
Can you?
Kevin with Spotify. He might be on the phone with our next guest. Right. But I know it's more of a subscription service.
Oh, okay.
My cousin Susie wanted to take all of her CDs and transfer them to her iPod.
Yeah.
And I said, that is going to be the biggest pain in the ass. Why don't you just buy the songs over again? And she refuses to do that.
It's not. I just did a bunch of that. I converted a bunch of old CDs into iTunes. And it really happens very quickly and easily. I mean, you know me. I did it quickly and easily.
You could do it?
Yeah. It took me almost no time at all to do dozens of CDs. So.
Well, she doesn't have a computer, so could she borrow yours?
That'll make it a lot harder.
All right. Well, good to know. Can we say hi to our next guest?
Yeah.
Oh. Kevin, you got me so confused. We have to take a break, and then we can talk to our next guest.
George Takei, who you all know as Mr. Sulu from Star Trek, will join us in just a little bit. He's got a one-man show coming to town, and we'll explain more next. Spill and Wendy on WGN.
Spectroanalysis tape, sir.
Thank you.
La, 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 la.
Almost as though they were irrational, drugged.
La 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 la.
That's some beautiful music, Wendy. That's what that is.
This is you singing, George Takei.
Oh, you're kidding. Is that me?
That was you.
How are you, sir?
Just great. We just got into Boston and checked into the hotel. We haven't unpacked yet, but we understand that you have a time situation there, so we're talking to you immediately, a little bit out of breath.
We appreciate it, George. The great George Takei joins us right now on the telephone. He's in Boston. We're in Chicago, but George will be in Chicago tomorrow night for his show at the Chicago Theater. What an evening this will be. They'll show Star Trek II the next Star Trek II The Wrath of Khan, and then you come out and talk about that and your career, correct, George?
Exactly. As a matter of fact, we got into Boston from Dallas, Texas, where I spoke last night. And this city here, Boston, has a great meaning for me because this is Leonard Nimoy's hometown.
Mm.
And I just happened to be passing through Boston at Logan Airport when I learned about Leonard's passing in his hometown.
Such a sad.
So this is a very significant city for me. I know that one of my Star Trek colleagues is from that Chicago area, Robbins, Illinois. That's not too far from Chicago, is it?
Who from Star Trek is from Robbins? We're both curious.
Guess who came from Robbins, Illinois?
Uhuru.
Nichelle Nichols,
yes. Is she really?
Uhura.
I didn't know that. How about that?
Yeah, so I'm going to her home, not hometown, but her home stomping grounds there in Chicago tomorrow.
Now, did you keep in touch with a lot of your pals from the Star Trek TV series?
Well, my work colleagues from Star Trek have become my lifelong friends. As a matter of fact, Nichelle, when Brad and I got married, we asked her to be our matron of honor. And she said, I am not a matron. And we had asked Walter to be our best, Walter Koenig, who played Chekhov, to be our best man. So she said, I am not a matron. If Walter can be the best man, why can't I be the best lady? And I said, darling, of course you are.
I don't blame her, though.
Michelle
matron
was our best lady when we got married.
Matron is not a great term. I agree with her
on
that.
Makes you sound old. It makes you sound old.
She's very, very precise about how she's described.
George, I don't want to get too heavy with you. We're not here to talk real politics, but I have to ask you this. As you know, there's a lot going on in the country right now with immigration, and I know your family story. I know your struggles with the internment camps and what that must have been like. I've read all about that. But what's your perspective about what's going on politically with immigration right now in the country?
Well, the thing is, Donald Trump really doesn't know what he's talking about. And when during the campaign, he made that statement, we're going to have a ban on all Muslims coming into the country. This was last year.
Yeah.
And at that time, I happened to be doing a musical on Broadway titled Allegiance, which is a story of the imprisonment of Japanese Americans during the Second World War, and I thought he could learn something. So I very publicly invited Donald Trump to come see a performance of Allegiance. I went on the morning talk shows. I went on the afternoon talk shows, evening talk shows, certainly on social media, to extend to him that invitation.
Sure.
He never came.
No.
And he could learn something. And, you know, we gave him every opportunity to learn something about that dark chapter of American history so that he wouldn't do the kind of thing he just did last Friday. And ironically, last Friday was the Holocaust Memorial Day.
Yeah.
Right.
When we remember that awful atrocity that happened in Europe when over 6 million Jewish people were slaughtered, genocide in Europe. And I don't think he really knows anything too much about that either. And yet, you know, that very same day, last Friday, he passed that executive order. And I was chilled by it. And, you know, later this month, February, on the 19th, we have another day of remembrance when another president, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, 75 years ago, mm-hmm. signed an executive order numbered 9066, which ordered all Japanese Americans, American citizens, to be rounded up and put into barbed wire prison camps just because of our Japanese ancestry. I mean, you know, we're Americans. My mother was born in Sacramento. My father was a San Franciscan. They met and married, and my siblings and I, my brother and my sister were born in Los Angeles. We're Americans.
Right.
And yet we were all swept up by this all-inclusive sweeping all Japanese Americans on the West Coast, 120,000 of us, and put into these barbed wire prison camps.
Can I ask a question, George? How did your family find a way to give America a second chance after that? You were interned for the wrongest of reasons, just because of your heritage. How did you come out of that and still love this country?
Well, it's a long story, and I don't think we have the time for that, because, you know, they rounded us up suddenly. And when the war ended, they opened the gates to the prison camps suddenly.
Yeah.
We were suddenly free to go. And you know, they had impoverished us. They'd taken my father's business, our home, our property, our bank accounts had been frozen. You know, we had nothing left. And so what they gave us was a one-way ticket to anywhere in the United States that we wanted to go to, and $20. We were to start all over again with $20. And our first home back home in Los Angeles was on Skid Row, which to us kids, I was the oldest. I was 8 years old by that time. My brother was seven. And my sister, who was a baby, an infant, when we went into the camp,
yeah.
had spent all her short life in behind those barbed wire fences. And coming to what my parents said was home was terrifying for us. The smell of human urine everywhere, in the hallways, on the street, everywhere. And those scary, ugly, smelly people leaning on the wall, sprawled on the sidewalk or staggering about, you know, was absolutely terrifying, particularly to my baby sister. She said, "Mama, let's go back home," meaning behind barbed wire fences.
Sure.
That's terrible.
That was better than coming home to Los Angeles. And it took a lot of years for my parents to get back on their feet. But, you know, when I became a teenager, I read civics books and history books and read about all the shining ideals of American democracy. And I couldn't reconcile that with what I knew to be my childhood imprisonment. And so I had many long discussions after dinner with my father. And I learned from my father, the man in our family who suffered the most, who bore the burden of the loss and the anguish and the degradation the most, and he was still able to explain to me about American democracy. He said, "This is a people's democracy. And the people, especially the founding fathers who articulated those shining words, all men are created equal and endowed with an inalienable right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." You know, those words are what the a human being is capable of coming up with.
Sure.
But the people are also fallible human beings, and we make horrible mistakes. And so our democracy, knowing that we can do great things, but we're also fallible human beings, requires people who cherish those ideals and actively engage in the process of government. This is a participatory democracy. And he introduced me to how this system works by taking me downtown to the Adlai Stevenson for President campaign headquarters. Now, I'm sure you recognize that name.
Absolutely. Sure we do, yeah.
He was one of your great governors from Illinois. And my father was really impressed with him. And I heard his speeches, too. And he was an eloquent speaker, stirring speaker. And so he took me downtown to the Adlai Stevenson, the campaign headquarters. And there I was with all these other people, passionately dedicated to getting Governor Stevenson elected. And I understood what it takes to make this government be true. And so, you know, education is so important. And we tried to educate this man, Donald Trump, who knows very little but acts impetuously right off the top of his head.
Yeah.
And that executive order that he put out about banning
Muslims.
Travel from those Muslim majority countries, which came out last Friday.
Hmm.
His, you know, the rollout was terrible. I mean, he didn't touch bases with the Transportation Security Administration. The Secretary of Homeland Security found out about it from television. And the State Department, you know, was being flooded by all the U.S. embassies from throughout the world asking for clarification. I mean, he just acts impetuously without doing the proper homework or knowing anything about what he's doing. And he caused all this commotion.
There was a lot of problems. And I believe, George, that, you know, we're going to find our news from this point forward via Twitter. That's what it seems like.
Well, that's not the way you run a government.
I realize that.
It is the worst way because, again, you don't vet things. Donald Trump just is tweeting off the top of his head.
I know we all have that, but, you know, we need filters sometimes to not put that up. We all need filters sometimes, and Donald Trump doesn't seem to display any filtering process, which could be detrimental.
Well, you got to have knowledge before you start mouthing off.
That's a good point.
And that's why I invited him to Allegiance, our Broadway musical, because he could learn something about, you know, American history. It's a dark chapter of American history, and we can learn more from that or from the Holocaust in Europe. And, you know, now our most important allies in Europe, the European Council, the chairman of that, Donald Tusk, who was the former prime minister of Poland and is now the president of the European Council, has just a few days ago, after Donald Trump put out that executive order, put us on the danger list, together with countries like Russia and China and Islamic radical states. I mean, you know, they're our longest and strongest allies, and now they see us as someone dangerous.
I'm so proud to be an American, but there are times like these that I'm getting embarrassed, you know.
Predicting that Donald Trump's tenure is going to be very short.
Hmm.
It's going to be abbreviated. And that's going to happen because of his conflicts of interest. You know, it's very interesting. He chose seven Muslim majority countries.
Yeah.
And he said it's because of national security.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the most terrorists that came to this country were the people that caused 9/11 to happen.
Not from the ones that he banned.
None from many of those countries. But 15 came from Saudi Arabia. That's not on the list.
No, it sure isn't.
11 came from Egypt. Egypt isn't on the list. It's very curious, isn't it?
Well, there's oil interests, as you know.
Well, more than that.
Yeah.
Donald Trump's got business relations in both Saudi Arabia and Egypt.
Yeah.
So that's a plain conflict of interest.
It's spooky.
I've got to tell you, in this time that's going on in America, I really have a great time looking on your Facebook page because you still put cute puppies and funny little things. And really, we need to get away from what's going on in the political world. So I want to thank you for that.
Well, the thing about resilience is knowing how to live and knowing how to find beauty and joy and love. And, you know, you can't just live by the horrors that are happening around you. And to be strong, you got to know why you're living.
So true.
Because there's beauty in this life, and there's joy in this life, and there are things that you can love, you know. And so I try to mix them all up with sober, serious advocacy.
You do a great job, and we look so forward to you coming to the Chicago Theater tomorrow night.
I'm looking forward, you know, but particularly because it's going to be at the Chicago Theater, and that is a landmark theater. I'm also a historic preservationist and an architecture buff.
And oh, you're right in the right place.
What a match.
Historic theaters.
We appreciate you taking the time. I know you just got into your room in Boston. We've got to run because there's a new show coming on the air. But we thank you so much for taking the time. And Chicago Theater tomorrow night, it's George Takei. Chicago loves you.
Will I see you guys there?
We would love to come out, George. That'd be fun.
Come on out.
All right, you got it.
Tell me, introduce yourselves to me.
All right. Set your phasers to entertain.
To take care.
Thanks,
thank
George.
You so much.
George Takei, everybody, at the Chicago Theater tomorrow night.
That's a good line.
Tickets at thechicagotheater.com. We'll find out what Rowan and Anna have next.
My.
It's Bill and Wendy at WGN.